And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, at from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. How long have you missed that? How many days has it been? Oh, my goodness. You know, this has been a really nice Christmas. You know, everybody's happy and healthy, and, you know, the kids, all it's all good, and grandkids and good, and we got a lot of time with everybody and good. Good. Even the kids, we got to watch the babies, I mean the baby babies, and let them, all the grandkids and their kids and everybody they went up to the snow. Here in the snow, they got to go sledding in the snow. They got their year of snow, so that's good. They were going to start earlier. I had some family visiting from out of state, you know, one of my son-in-law's brother and his family from Houston. They're going to get some snow and get all ready, and it was already gone. So now this time we had a nice little storm, so we got some snow. And we have, I'll tell you what, man, if you've been in Arizona in the last month or so, you didn't think it was a desert, man. It's been raining a lot. So, and it's, I've been getting kind of semi-chilly, so we've been having to drain the hot water maker solar thing I made for the fish, but we got fish still this year. It's working enough. We'll see, you know, and we got so many projects. I'm finishing project. We had all right, here's one, you know, like this. All of a sudden, my daughter-in-law comes up to me months ago and said, you know, we're done having babies, you know, last year. She's like, you know, we take the crib, and I saw on Pinterest, they always see it on Pinterest, I saw on Pinterest where they took a baby crib and they cut it in half, and they, you know, lengthwise, and they make a bench out of it, you know, and depending on how ornate and how it's put together and everything, you know, you can get some really creative benches. So I go, well, heck, you know, you want to do something with me, a little woodworking project, I'm all over it, you know. We'll go out there one day, and she was a good trooper, man. We just busted butt. Got it almost done. Well, then it was like, well, we're not, you know, and she's pregnant. She just had the other baby, so yeah, it's been about a year ago. So we go, okay, and he's 2 months old, Colton James. So Colton James Hancock. And so we go ahead and take the crib, we kind of set it off to the side, but it was done, pretty much done. It just needed to be, well, what I did is I go, you know what? The fiberglass, the Bondo that we used on my, his father's truck that he redid and furbed and we painted and everything, this satin flat black that shows everything, but it came out really nice. I mean, we learned something there. We, you know, just head down, plow, and then follow instructions and so on, and, you know, take your time. And he had a week off, and we just, you know, truck. So while we did that, I, you know, had done Bondo before and so on, but there were some, you know, from remodeling, there were some holes and stuff in the wood and everything. You do putty, but some of them are a little bigger. I go, you know, I bet you that would work. I was kind of holding off on how I was going to do this and carve it out with chisels and wood carvings too. You know, so I got that all done and just rounded, just to dress it up, you know. And then I go, give me that Bondo. And just a couple little left. Boom. Form it and sand it and seal it. And I'm going, holy crap, man, it's like car body. I go, this is awesome. And it was just a little plate done. So we got it all ready to paint. What color are you on it? So we got to decide that. And with, you know, all the crafts and stuff that the girls are starting to do, they got this Cricut. You know, what do you call that thing? What's your model? The vinyl making thing? silhouette cameo. So there's a lot of things that you can do with that. It just prints out die cuts, you know, these vinyl images, you know, letters and logos and whatever the heck you can do to it. And I remember each one of the kids, we made like little logos for their names, you know, all four of them got like a little something, you know. And maybe we'd do that with the grandkids. That was like work, you know. We'll come up with something to put on this, and they have a nice, pretty bench that was a crib. So, finishing that project. The aquaponics thing for my other daughter is done, put over there. You know, it's still kind of cold, and we're not, you know, making it go worry yet. But, you know, it's setting up, ready to go. I got to go over and just kind of finish, you know, flipping switches and stuff, and put the fish in and everything, plant and everything. So, we're going to start getting that ready. Pretty soon, all of a sudden, boom, it'll be freaking billion degrees here. The solstice already happened. On the solstice, my nephew got married. You know, that was very cool. We had a good time up in Prescott there. My sister came down for... Oh! Got the picture. Did you get the family picture? Nah, we probably won't show that anyway. I don't show pictures of my grandkids and stuff just because, you know, let them decide to be freaking on everybody's database. But the... we had a playhouse that we built back there, a little two-story Papa Build Me Princess house, you know. So we went ahead and, you know, put all the kids all around that and everything, got a picture, finally, everybody together. And then, you know, that's cool. Then, let's see, what we get for Christmas. I bet you wish you were married to Donna. Let me tell you what she did for me. We went to Celebrity Theaters, like a theater in the round, and it's probably only seats maybe 4,000 people or something like that, 5,000. It's not really big. It's just has a revolving stage in the middle. So whatever, you know, stand-up comedian or band or whatever, it just kind of rotates, you know, and you get to see from all the angles, and it's fun. Yeah, I've gone there for a lot of things. We went, took all the kids to see Savage Garden there one time, and we had a blast. Well, been there for various different things, like Bill Maher come, or, you know, they always have, you know, Celebrity Theater. It's they book all the older guys, like, you know, Johnny Mathis would be playing, that kind of thing. So there is a cover band for Queen, and I go, oh, hell yeah. I never got to see Queen in concert. I mean, these guys, a lot of them, they're good. And I'm going, yeah, man, that'd be awesome. Donna got me 4 tickets to the cover band for Queen, and I'm going, man, I'm looking forward to that. I'll tell you, that's, you know, you'll hear, you know, some Queen, you know, in the rejoiners and so on. So I'm a Queen fan. Then, in your high school, yeah, well, he's gay. And I go, really? Yeah, so what? I don't care. By then, in the late 70s, it got to where, hell, Elton John and Queen and, you know, freaking everybody was gay. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever, man. Give me the album. So the... I probably what changed a lot of our attitudes is just, you know, freaking, well, I don't care, man. He throws the football really far or something. Oh, yeah, that was a new one, man. NFL players started coming out. I just, I don't know about that. Oh. There's a lot of little personal internal stuff that happened over there. I probably should share everything. And so my kids go, no, we're not telling you nothing. You tell everybody. And I go, yeah. Because some of their friends and employees and stuff like that at work and everything, they listen to the show. And they'll come up and say stuff. And I know how that feels, man. When I was producing for Charles back at Air America days, there was one of the board ops, Chad. And I really liked him. He's a nice guy. But he was going, one time he goes, oh, yeah, your daughter, you know, what was she doing in Mexico and this and that and everything? Oh, yeah, and the bikini and the beach and hot and this. And I'm going, how the hell do you know this stuff? Man, I didn't even know she went to Mexico. Facebook. I mean, if you get on Facebook, you got on the Facebook of the Facebook. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? That was when I first got my first account back in, like, 05 or something like that, 04, 05. You know, when first started coming out, Facebook, or was it MySpace? Probably Facebook. You know, whatever. I'm going, you know, 05, 06, around in there. And I'm going, what the hell, man? People put their entire lives up, and they're more open with everybody else. It's like a, I don't know, a bragging right thing or something that the parents don't even know. That's why grandma's got a Facebook, so they know what the heck their kids are doing. All right, when we get back, we got Ken Schoolin in the third hour from ISIL, the guy that does the Philosophy of Liberty video. He's responsible for that. That'll be interesting.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back. In the second hour, and you probably stay in through the third, is a new libertarian that Michael Cole, I guess he's probably not new, he's a chiropractor here, and he's been coming to the parties, you know, of late, and kind of saying he got inspired by the Stop Wars Home Educate campaign, got some signs, went out, put him up with his family, has a daughter that he comes to, I don't know, I think at the Breakfast Club or some of the parties, and he's just... You know, good guy doing his thing. You know, he's like, I tell you how, you know, he endeared himself to me. He hears me talking, and I got, and he goes, he comes to the Christmas party, and here's a box of 40 caliber ammo. And I'm like, you know, you're the man. You're the man. I go, hey, who else, is going to pony up here? Anybody bringing me some ammo? You know, that's one thing. Bill Buford, he's always going, whenever he comes by, he always brings at least a little box of 22 ammo. And I'm going, this is a good trend. You know, one thing that we did was we had parties, and they go, well, what do you want us to bring? And I go, red wine, because everybody knows Donna likes white wine, so she's wined up. You know, for me, I'm going, hey, what about a little for the home team here, you know? Yeah, it's red wine, so I got enough to last me like a year or two at one time. They just, you know, heck, even a big, giant bottle that was freaking 3 feet high. So I'm going, okay, I'm like 22 and 40 caliber ammo. And 223 and 762 and 308 and 30-06. But yeah, 40. I think that's the one that I need. I got. I went to the gun show here a couple weeks ago and got. We're cleaning up the garage. We're getting everything clear. Getting organized. You know, we got to probably do yard sales or whatever, and just, you know, getting kind of lean and mean. Yeah, this is one of the commercials that economy's doing. You just heard one of the commercials. Oh, economy's doing great. You know, it's kind of, we're ready to, you know, fund your whatever and give you more business loan of money and loan come to us and give us, you know, whatever. It'd be $100 application fee or something. I didn't check, but I'm seriously. Anyway, some of the top stories we want to get into. Anyway, Michael Cole, he's going to come in studio in the second and third hour and put up some signs. He's really getting into it. He was a big Alex Jones listener. And then, you know, everybody goes through phases, you know, after a while, you know, it's just so, you know, bam, 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 bam. Okay, I get it. Now what? And but that brings us to a story. California police officer killed protecting Alex Jones from potential killer. Well, I'm going, all right, well, that definitely gets your attention. And what it was is I looked at it, and Alex is on his show talking about how there was a police chief of Austin that had previously informed him that he had arrested someone who came to town a while back to kill Jones. And I'm like, you know, how much of this is... I mean, I don't think Alex would, you know, make this up and say it. It's just, I mean, you can't trust the police. You know, Lord knows what comes up. He said, the man, you know, somebody, he said, man, you know, somebody came here to kill you. You don't know about that? And I said, no, we ought to look into it. And he goes, you know, we had people on that and we stopped them and took them in, but then they had to be released. But I can't get into it because of court reasons and stuff. And then I get sent this whole file and called by a detective from L.A. where this guy came here and went to all my last known locations and was staked out to kill me. They sent state police in California, and he killed one of them, and then they killed him. Jones said, literally, a police officer was killed in California trying to protect me, said Jones, continuing on to defend the police for doing so. 10 or 20 years ago, they thought I was a kook. Now they listen to my show, and I just scare the daylights out of people. It's not fear-mongering, Jones said. We got spiders all over the place, okay? And that's not fear-mongering. It's good to know they are there. That's positive. Okay, I guess to know the spiders are there. But, you know, if that comes out, you know, you'll hear more about it, I'm sure, as time goes on. But to have a police officer killed in the line of going after somebody who's going to kill, that's news, you know. All right, so it was popular on Famous Phoenix, FYI. All right, the new ban bill hits Congress. I want to get the guns, you know, get some. You know, the target semi-automatic rifles and handguns to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited. Yeah, this gun battle fight is going on, you know, sponsored by the NRA. And I just, you know, whether they have any hand in, which they have had hands and stuff. I mean, don't even, NRA is just, they're just GOP Republican lapdogs. This is just neon flashing red meat for them to go, gonna get involved in this 2016 POTUS election cycle of somebody talking about Trump, you know, what about the guns and Trump? So I just, you can expect this kind of stuff. And, you know, supported by both sides. But then, can't we just be kind of, we're good. You know, it's a non-starter. Like here in Arizona, you know, they start coming up, really? You guys don't play that? And they just, you know, kind of go away. Well, they'll come back. You know, where do they always, you know, want to hammer on you? Whatever state or the nail sticks up the most. You look at 50 states. You got a 2x4 in front of you. And it's got 50 nails in it. You know which one the man hits? Let me tell you which one the man hits. One sticking up the most. That's the one they hit. You know, so when you got some, just resistance coming out and everything in Arizona, they'll come. They always do. Monster.com, they came with legislation. The CEO of that was big handgun control incorporated guy that funded some lobbying to do blah, 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 and they came up against the buzzsaw. Well, what else is happening? Here comes Mayor Bloomberg, they're coming to Arizona. Hey, we're going to get some. Oh, those guys out there are too gunified. So this is part of that, I guess, before Obama leaves office. He wants to make sure that he gets in. I did a little gun control thing. If he's got to do executive order. You know, this executive order thing, you know, I'm wondering if somebody coming in, let's say you get, whoever, you know, but somebody coming in, they're going to go, yeah, I'm going to redo, undo all these executive orders. We're not going to have executive orders, and I'm going to do executive order to do it or something. I mean, I wonder where this, what are you going to do? Start calling them chancellor? In the wake of the Sandy Hook shootings, we warn that sweeping changes are in the works for American rights to bear arms. It started with the ammunition tax proposals, restrictions on firearm accessories imports. And most recently, governors began bypassing Congress altogether by banning gun ownership for those on any of the government's many watch lists. Yeah, it's this list thing. The Obama administration has also targeted licensed firearm sellers across the United States by forcing banks to treat them like pornography businesses. Yeah, I mean, why is pornography businesses getting singled out? And then they lump firearms in with pornography. I mean, it's like, I go, what are they, priests or something? You know, we got the church of the non-gun, we kind of moral, we decide majority freedoms out the window thing. You can just feel it. And impeding their access to transaction processing systems and business banking accounts, like the ghost gunner, Cody Wilson, over there. We need to, really hard press him to come on, but he's got a bank doing his thing, so he doesn't want to wave his arms around when he's hanging on by his fingernails. California already does the assault weapon ban and the high capacity magazine stuff. They're getting everywhere to regulate assault weapons to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited and for other purposes. We're gonna have this battle. They'll get people out and having like signs made and stuff.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Lots of news. Go up to freedomsphoenix.com. Freedom with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and see all the news. Oh, man, there's a lot of, and damn. You know, damn. These guys, all right, we'll go through this one. The assault weapon ban, well, the firearms, whatever you want to call it, they want to take the guns, of course, is the whole thing. They're trying to look for the low-hanging fruit. You know, we got, well, it's high-capacity magazines. I went through this in the 90s. That's where SAFE came from. Second Amendment is for everyone. It's just sitting there. Special edition. Go to safegunowners.org. You know, Second Amendment is for everyone.org, .com, dot everything. You know, you go in the Second Amendment is for everyone or Safe Gun Owners. It'll come up. And special edition, we have all these stories and everything. We keep track of it. And when they piss us off and they get all kinds of ornery, we got a bunch of DVDs and we go down and we do some, you know, a little outreach, go to different events. We'll be, the legislature starts up here in a couple weeks. You know, it's the second Monday in January, the new legislative session starts. And there's going to be some Democrat or somebody somewhere that's going to fall on the sword of introducing something like this. And then they'll kind of play with it and go back and then whatever, it'll be dead here in Arizona. Hopefully, you know, keep track of this stuff. But they sneak stuff in, man. I'm telling you, it's so bad that I don't even waste time with them anymore. You go to the people. You know, that's why we ran campaigns and so on. Do we got to run again? I mean, seriously, I really, really rather not. But, you know, there's low-hanging fruit if we wanted to. While Americans anxiously prepared for their Christmas festivities, anti-gun proponents in Congress were hard at work drafting a new bill. They had this stuff sitting on the shelf forever. If passed, H.R. 4269 would literally redefine the Second Amendment as evidenced by the bill's description, which in no uncertain terms claims its ultimate goal, to regulate assault weapons, to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited, and for other purposes. And this is what they would do. I went through this before. You know, it's they're going after semi-automatic, anything that's worth defending against a tyrannical government. That's what they want to do. Let's see. Semi-automatic rifle that has the capacity to accept a detachable magazine and any one of the following. So this is always, they just, dropped a magazine, put another one in there and kept on shooting. Okay, I went through this before, 20 years ago, and it's trying to again. A pistol grip, a forward grip, a folding, telescoping, or detachable stock, a barrel shroud. You know, you've seen a bunch of accessories for ARs, what's going on here. And you're in a database. You didn't go just some gun show and pick the stuff up and build it yourself. If you ordered it on Amazon, which you can order everything on Amazon, Blackout or whatever it is. It's a 7.62x39 of a, no, it was a Whisper. Yeah, they call it. It's a 30 caliber, its own round that is a 223 that uses a bigger a cartridge. I can't remember. We did a story on it, and it was really cool. You could get a 30 caliber. Oh, I remember what it was. It's a 30 caliber bullet. The 223 is a very small, it's like a 22, but it goes really fast because it has a lot of charge behind it. It's a shockwave, it's all that conversion of mass, velocity, impact, poundage, foot, hit in the chest with sledgehammer kind of thing. And so what happens is the 30 caliber has always been, but a 30 caliber, you can even go subsonic with it. You can suppress it better. It has, more, thump to it. You don't have to go as fast. You can get, whatever, people, arguing over 306, 30-06, 308, whatever. So 30 caliber. Well, a lot of the guys, when they found out that SEAL team, whatever, goes in Osama and they build, they built their firearms to be the 30 caliber version of an AR. But what they did here, instead of it just being takes a bigger bullet like a 7.62 by 39 that goes in an AK-47 or a SKS, what they did is if you're familiar with a 223, an AR-15 or M16 bullet, they're really kind of small bullet, and the cartridge, what they did is it's necked down to the itty-bitty little bullet. What if you didn't neck it down as much and it took a 30 caliber bullet? You get a different barrel, you know, but the receiver and everything's the same. So you put in the magazine for an AR-15, you put both bullets in there, use the same magazine for a 223 or this 30 caliber Whisper, because all it is just a bigger bullet. It doesn't neck down as much. And I'm going, wow, that's a cool iron did. You know, that's a good idea. So I go, all right, I want to did that. That is a cool idea. So I go on Amazon. I'm going, all right, well, how hard would this be, especially if you're doing ghost gunners? You're making your own AR lowers. You can do, I mean, what is it that you need? It's just the barrel. Just a barrel assembly. You know, so you can get for $300 or something, you can do this. You know, you get the ammunition you can buy, you know, or make. I mean, you know. So I'm going, wow, this is, where can I go? Amazon. So what makes you think that Amazon doesn't have a list of AMA everything for AMA them, they, them, those won't leave you alone? So you're on the list. If you certainly you're modifying and doing something like that, there is a list with your name on it. And but you just put a pistol grip on it, a Ford grip. Well, they called them the Mac 90s, I think, in California when they did this before, assault weapon ban based on cosmetics. When how much, you know, how is if it had a detachable magazine and a pistol grip, okay? It was cosmetics. Now, you go, they call them mini 14s, which is, looks more like a standard rifle without the pistol grip, but it uses .223 ammunition. Now, Ruger is all over, oh, yeah, yeah, you should do that, and, you know, buy ours, you know, because it just looked like a regular rifle, but it shot AR-15 ammunition, looked like a regular rifle, that was legal. Because it didn't have a pistol grip. It went ugly and black. That's why we went, you know, through this process. If you wanted to speak at a safe function, you're going to have to do one. You're going to have to do a safe convention or meeting or something again. Because, God, just want to backhand these people. All right. So, be able to address the crowd. You're a politician running for, you know, pick me. We had like three or four firearms on a table. You pick it up, and each one of them were black, detachable magazine, pistol grip. And now we got to add collapsing stock, telescoping stock, you know, adjustable stock length. And I'm going, we do that, and you pick it up, you get a color photograph taken, then you can talk to the crowd. Now, some people would be proud. They'd hold it up. They get the biggest, baddest, ugliest, whatever, you know. And but a lot of guys, they wouldn't do it. If I did that, my opponents would, what? I'm going to count on you to defend this right? You wouldn't even pick it seriously? You know, and it came out true. Every one of these guys that went into Congress that wouldn't do this, they want to speak, they want to come, you know, but they didn't want to, you know, get the picture taken. So we're going, no, you can't talk. So this is, it's happening again, and it's the same kind of stuff, and it's probably going to have the same result. The only difference is that you have a president that's willing to do executive orders. And what is he going to get away with? It's going to be, if you're on the government list. What list? How you get on this list? How you get off the list? It doesn't matter. It's Orwellian stuff. I mean, it's like right out of 1984. These guys are just, you know, we're going to create a list, and you're on it. And if you're on this list, you don't get to have a firearm. And you don't get to and if you bitch about, you know, not wanting to go through their scanner, you're going to get on the list or something. Yeah, they're doing that, too. You have to go. They gave power. They're trying. You know, they say in their regular, yep. We have TSA officers. They say, no, you got to go through the scanner. No, I opt out. Nope, not allowed. Opting out is not an option. Got to go through the scanner. No, go ahead. Feel me up, man. Okay. Nope, got to go through the scanner. We all have a line, and that's one from, there's going to be, we're going to, yeah, there's some resistance on that one. Yeah, you must go through the disintegrator machine. They kept lying to us before. It was, you know, they had to replace the last RAPA scanner because, you know, it was doing too much radiation. So I no. So, we're going to have this to have fun with again. Damn.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Monday, gold is $4 lower at $1,072 per ounce. Silver is 34 cents lower at $14.08 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $424. Our offices are closed this week for year-end processes and to enjoy the holidays, but you can still shop our online store at rrbi.co for some of the best deals you'll find in silver and gold. rrbi.co.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Oh, lies. You know, it's the same old. I've been through this stuff before. It's just going to be over and over again. All right, fine. We just, you know, do guerrilla tactic, and we're got it ready, and we're more prepared, and more resources, and more education, and more. But, you know, as you get older, you got to realize, you know, the new guys, you know, and they're, oh, man, tell me all about it. And they're 20-something. You know, they're early 30s. They're getting involved, but there's more information out there. And, of course, they get bombarded with all kinds of crap from everywhere else. But the thing that's different now is not only do you get to communicate different ideas and logic and reason and inject kind of duh and history into a lot of people, and they learn, it gives they, them, those, the bad guys, a map, a grid. It's like when they did this Jade Helm thing this last summer. They go, Jade Helm, they're going to martial law to Jade Helm. And I go, God, don't you guys get what's happening? I mean, this is all just, they're building out their information structure, who went to what and listens to and gets and the sites of, I kind of, in the grapevine of, damn it. You know, they're just mapping out where their opposition is. You know, how in the heck are they organizing and doing? Where are they? What? You know, so it's just, yep, here they come. Popular Liberty, you know, Daily Paul, done. Went off about Christmas time. Christmas Eve, just, you know, Michael's like, nope, peace out. You know, been real, done. Well, can't you just, nope, done. Well, I want it, nope, done. You know, I've yet to talk to Michael. I left him a couple messages, but he's just, you know, don't want to be bothered, I guess. You know, just sort of leave me alone. And I made a big full court press of, oh, my God. But, you know, I'm you know, I'd be interested to have my, he's never come on the show. You know, maybe had long hours of conversation, but, you know, he's like, oh, hell no. That's not his thing. And he could just see it building up for 2016. It's just more political in the trolls. He goes, no. It was bad enough, you know, in 12. And then going into six, he didn't want to play. So I power to you, brother. You know, I think, you know, I understand your decision. And people, hey, well, we could, I answer, Ernie, can you send him a message? I'll give him 20% of revenue. And I go, you don't understand his motivation. It's not a money thing. I mean, it could be. I tell you one thing, he was not very supportive of, you know, the Paul machine. They helped raise tens of millions, if not more, dollars for these guys, and they never spent any back. You know, Daily Paul, they didn't give him any. I think the most they ever got was, you know, the dime card thing that we did with them. You know, in 24 hours, he made $10,000 profit. It was a fundraiser for Daily Paul, $10,000 in a day. doing dime cards. Revolution and Ron Paul dime cards that we did. Boom. Done. We had four laminating machines going nonstop for a week or two. Had, that was like 6,000 cards in a day. I mean, damn. That was, you know, hopefully you got some of them because damn. You know, well, he was like, oh, we can just keep doing this. This is great. We can fund it. I'm going, no, don't count on this. You can't keep doing this. I mean, you know, we did another round, you know, that, you know, was profitable, but it wasn't near, no. So he's just not feeling good when they wanted to raise money for, you know, a documentary, and they wanted to do this or do that. They're always looking for Daily Paul or Michael Nystrom, you know, endorsement and support, and it's like, yeah, why? All you do is cause me more work and grief and everything, and never any appreciation other than, what, don't you love America enough again, you know, to do it? I'm going, yeah, I'm telling you, man, you know, so he got abused, and I'm just, you know, I'm power to Michael, you know, who started with his life. Veterans Today, Journal for the Clandestine Community. So the Veterans Today has a lot of, you know, I guess you'd call it conspiratorial stuff, but hell, everything's a conspiracy. And just to say the word conspiracy means it's like got some invalid, some whatever. Yeah. So, you know, what's the definition of a conspiracy? You know, it's like more than one guy doing something, conspiring. Well, Bill Kristol. Now, this is where, you know, Rand Paul and I had separated. After, you know, he got the nomination for Kentucky U.S. Senator, he went straight to Bill Kristol and wants to, you know, make nice or something. Oh, I hate Iran just as much as I love Israel. Watch me kiss a wall. So I don't have any time for these guys. Well, Kristol is so terrified that Trump might get the Republican nomination. Oh, my God, be president. Because he sees them as a threat because he might have a real investigation into 9/11. So they're worried that, let's see, U.S. neoconservative commentator Bill Kristol William is terrified that if Donald Trump becomes president, he might try the perpetrators of the 9/11 coup d'etat for mass murder and high treason, American scholar and researcher says. Well, you know. So he's advocating, Kristol called for a third-party run in the event Trump wins the Republican Party nomination for the presidency of the United States. Kristol, the founder and editor of the political magazine The Weekly Standard, also said Trump will not be nominated by his party, adding that he will begin to fall behind his rivals if he loses Iowa state primary election. Dr. Barnett said, Kristol is the dean of American neoconservatism and an ultra-Machiavellian Zionist political intellectual movement that brought us to 9/11 coup d'etat, the New Pearl Harbor. That's a neoconservative think tank. Project for the New American Century called for shamelessly exactly 1 year before September 11th. The year before September 11th, they said, we need a unifying event like a Pearl Harbor. You know, this is, you know, that's, and when that came out, yeah, you know, you can imagine. So therefore, William Kristol, as I understand it, should be viewed as the godfather of the 9/11 perpetrators. That's his role in the current American political system, and he is terrified of Donald Trump. He is willing to do anything to try to stop Trump. Why is that? He asked. Trump knows about 9/11. And it goes on and on and on. But the bottom line is, of course, you know, 9/11. Because Trump did make some state going, yeah, this is not what, no. Yeah, this is, you know, they're not telling you everything about whatever. Kristol says he'll organize a neocon third party and run Cheney or Jeb if Trump gets the Republican nomination. Wow. Wow. Kristol's second choice is Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida. Nothing surprises me anymore. What do we got here? What's the top stories? You know, a police officer in California is killed protecting Alex Jones from a potential killer. You know, they raid this guy. He kills one of the officers, and then they kill the guy. Then the Austin police chief comes back and tells Alex about it, and there was a guy that they released. They couldn't hold him. That came, you know, I'm going, how would they even know? And I, you know, so that needs some more attention or not. The assault weapon ban, you know, gun bans, more bans of executive order Obama and bans. So, you know, the NRA is just licking their chops. Ooh, make some more money. I've seen them do this. This is just, they're, you know, whatever. We'll have something to say about it and insert ourselves here in Arizona because we can. Trump you know, is freaking out Bill Kristol and the neoconservatives and everything, because God forbid someone like that, that they can't control, or the perception that they can't control. Hell, he may be under the control. Hell, he may be, you know, doing this for, you know, his buddy, you know, Bill Clinton. For all I have no idea. I have no idea. But they, you know, they bring up 9/11 to start going after crimes for that and prosecute and so on. You know, what kind of credibility would that, you know, give somebody if they did that? Look, we have the evidence. It's kind of like Putin coming out going, look, you want to see all that? I got evidence. Beat the crap out of your aluminum tube crap you do, you know, before the United Nations. Here, we got surveillance, video, satellite right here. ISIS is making money through by selling all this oil into Turkey, giving a discount to Israel with the backing of the U.S. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and going, yeah? Yeah, who do you believe? I, you know, it's just that they're all bad. The GOP's New Hampshire nightmare. Forget Iowa. This is where an anti-Trump contest becomes a four-way fight that could doom them all. This is Ari Stokols from Politico.com. And, you know, I'll save you all the crap. It's all about, you know, all these guys running super hard in New Hampshire, because it looks like Cruz, he's got the ground game of the church buses. You know, that's what Iowa is. It's a Christian right church buses of how many parishioners can, you know, the pastor said and endorsements of, and they get to the Iowa caucus or whatever. You know, that's just, you know, the damn Ron Paul people just weren't doing what they were told, you know, so they can't control their state, or they won't get to be the state that goes first anymore. So they're trying to resurrect their Ted Cruz thing. So here we go into New Hampshire. Ah, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Well, Trump report on Thursday. We'll talk about that. Well, here's one. Judges killed a patent aimed at stopping SpaceX's reusable rocket plant. And who was it that had a patent? You can't land it back on a boat and barge. You kind of got Jeff Bezos from Blue Origin. SpaceX, Elon Musk, he won't get a patent. He goes, look, China just copies it. Why would I do that? Who's a customer anyway? Myself? I'm doing patents. Jeff Bezos tried to make it illegal for what SpaceX was doing their first stage.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Canaan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Tuesday, December 29th, 2015. Silver is trading at $14 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,072 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $425. Antiwar.com reports a pair of car bombings shook the Syrian city of Homs on Monday, killing at least 32 people and wounding 90 others. Reports from the Syrian government referred to at least one of the incidents as a suicide bombing. This is the second major attack against Homs since this month's ceasefire deal was signed, which handed the last of the city's districts back to the military after years under the control of rebels. The Islamic State claimed credit for the previous attack, but so far no one has claimed credit for the attacks on Monday. The Islamic State, interestingly, was not believed to have had much of a presence at all in Homs before this previous attack, though the group has established a foothold in the easternmost parts of the Homs province in recent months. The city, however, has mostly been in the sway of rebels affiliated with Al-Qaeda's Nusra Front and its coalition in Idlib. The recovery of Homs in the ceasefire deal was a huge boost for the Syrian military and gave them a better supply line from the power base around Damascus to the contested areas in Aleppo and Idlib province.
For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co.
UPI reports in as little as 4 months, travelers in five states might not be able to board domestic flights unless they produce more than a driver's license to verify their identity, a prospect the Transportation Security Administration is expected to settle this week. Since it took over airport security in 2001, the TSA has permitted flyers to board domestic flights with nothing more than a valid U.S. driver's license. The Real ID Act, passed in 2005, makes this more difficult, though the Department of Homeland Security has yet to enforce the law. That may change in a matter of weeks. So far, only 22 states have complied with the law. 19 states have not fully complied, but have made enough progress to earn an extension, and four states are being reviewed for an extension. The remaining five states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, and Washington, have been deemed non-compliant, and its travelers in those states may have to produce a passport for domestic travel as early as late April. The DHS, which operates the TSA, said it will release an official schedule this week that specifies exactly if and when airports in non-compliant states will begin rejecting driver's licenses for domestic travel. Reuters reports a grand jury cleared two Cleveland police officers on Monday in the November 2014 fatal shooting of 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was brandishing a toy gun in a park, and a prosecutor said there were a series of mistakes but no criminal activity. The Ohio grand jury had heard weeks of testimony on the Rice shooting, which occurred seconds after police reached a park next to a Cleveland recreation center in response to reports of a suspect with a gun. Rice died the next day. The shooting was one of several that had fueled scrutiny of police use of deadly force, particularly against minorities. Rice was holding a replica handgun when Officer Timothy Lohman shot him within seconds of reaching the park in a squad car driven by his partner, Frank Garmbach. Police radio personnel gave officers a description of the suspect's clothing, but did not convey that a 911 caller had said the suspect was probably a juvenile and that the gun may not be real. The prosecutor said those errors were substantial, contributing factors to the tragic outcome. Rice's family has filed a civil lawsuit over his death. The family also demanded the officers be charged, a special prosecutor handle the case, and the U.S. Justice Department investigate. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here and declare your independence to me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms with an S, Freedoms Phoenix, freedomsphoenix.com. Yep, you guys missed that, didn't you? Yeah, happy holidays. Did you guys have a good holiday? You should have had a good holiday. You know what? I'll tell you one thing. It was on PBS. PBS.org of Roku doing the kids in there watching, you know, I'm for kid TV, and it's the, you know, dinosaur train. You know, the dinosaurs are getting on the train going to the dinosaur. And it was three episodes of Winter Solstice. The Winter Solstice tree, the Winter Solstice gifts, the Winter Solstice North Pole trip, and the train, the Winter Solstice. I'm going, okay, I guess they get away with that. I'm just, oh man, a weed. It's been, they're just beating it out of them, which is fine, you know, whatever. You got government-funded television, what are you going to do? So I'm just, I can see it's a cultural thing, and it takes, you know, how many generations does it take to kind of make something a tradition? You know, they tried, you know, what was it, Kwanzaa? You know, it became a joke, you know. So on Saturday Night Live doing the Kwanzaa thing, or we have, oh, but winter solstice, can't get away from the solstice thing. That is, you know, what are they, astro, man, it's freaking though, a solstice. So then you got to explain that to people and so on and the grandkids. So now I'm going, all right, how do we segue into, you know, a cultural change for what we perceive to be the better? You know, who's impacted by what? Why? You know, these are interesting things, and it's going to help us with that. Michael Cole is a new activist that's come. Well, probably an old activist. You know, we're going to find out Michael's story. You know, Michael's been around for, we got graphics, Donna? Yeah, Michael's been around for a while. We're going to get his story. Michael, tell us how you came to, you show up at some of the events, you go to the parties, you listen to the show, you're kind of here, yeah, you know,
I just come for the parties.
Yeah. You know, chicks. And your daughter, which is, she's a young woman. I thought she might have been your sister, your wife, or something. I mean, you know, how old is she?
She's 15, going to be 16 here soon.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. You might have seen her when she was this tall back in the original Ron Paul campaigns. But
You're in trouble.
Oh, man.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I have two beautiful daughters. I'm glad I had two sons, too.
It's weird, isn't it?
You're
like eyeballing them, you know, eye level. It's like, what?
Well, this is, you know, so tell me about your awakening, your activist. There's so much stuff coming up. I mean, we were just before the show talking. I mean, I see you're wearing a T-shirt that has like a sheep, you know, with holsters on the side and AK-47 draped around his neck. So I guess the sheeple's armed up. And, you know, of course, that's going to become a thing.
And then
education's a thing with you. You're putting some of the Stop Wars Home Educate signs up and everything. So tell me when you first started becoming aware of there was something wrong.
Well, I've got to give you credit. It's such a funny story. I mean, the beginnings of a lot of things that become a predominating theme in my life are the beginnings are always usually kind of a weird story. With that aspect of it, I think it was you having a meetup with the Breakfast Club. And there was something about, you know, infiltrating the Super Bowl with Ron Paul. And that year's when the Giants won it all. And I'm a big Giants fan. I'm like, huh? Super Bowl? Get in? Free? Really? How do we do that? And then I'm hearing about this Ron Paul guy. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. And we're going to launch balloons at the halftime Super Bowl.
Oh, so that's when you first heard about it?
That was the genesis of it all. And then it was like, Ron Paul, and the Fed? What's that all about? You know, the money supply, what's that all about? And banking cartels, and then, man, it just was on from there, man. Seriously.
Well, I mean, what was your thought process before? I mean, what were you thinking? You weren't thinking? I mean, you're just kind of, oh, my God, these guys are conspiracy truth tellers. I mean, you know, what?
I had no idea about the, you know, kind of like the financial end of it and, you know, the politics. I mean, I'm a chiropractor, so you pretty much have to be halfway conspiratorial just to get through that. I mean, it's, you know, definitely not as mainstream. It's probably more mainstream these days. But, no, I've always had a skeptical eye about, you know, people in charge of things and really, who made you boss? Really, how did it get that way? So I've always kind of had that, you know, question always in the back of my mind with, you know, different groups, but never really applied it towards the government. I was never a big fan of it, but I was never like really like, wow, it's just evil and immoral. So
evil and immoral. Okay, well, that's a good starting place. But why did you even care?
You kind of get ticked off when you find out that you're having your pocket picked. I mean, you know, it's
it was taxes.
Yeah,
that's what keeps Donna in line. You know, it just told me where the sign at the thing, the end of the thing. I don't have anything to keep you libertarian, but she's real libertarian when it comes to tax time.
Oh yeah, those definitely.
Bastards.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, God, how was it? That was bad. What was that? 07, and now it's what 15. So I mean, it's just been waves of learning and learning. I really haven't stopped since then. You just learn more and more. And then I have to admit, I mean, I guess at this point, I'm just full-blown anarchist at this point. So.
Yeah, compared to what? I mean, you know, it's like none or what they got doing. It's easy choice. But this is, how has it changed your life? You know, you're raising your children. What about your wife? Is she in? Is she down with it?
My wife is going to be out there at Rio Salado in a shooting competition. So she's gotten to be quite the Second Amendment booster lately here. So yeah, she's down. You know, I mean, I'm going faster than she does. And I'm always like, oh, listen to this. Check this out. What do you think about this? You know?
This is a suggestion. When people, they get motivated, they're starting to yawn, they know, they're going to get some, and they got, and you got some resources, you know, you can put a little here, a little there, and do it.
Yeah.
And I go, you got to pace yourself.
Yeah.
Financially, with your time, with your effort, with your focus, you got to hit the root, and it's a culture thing. If you can get, you know, something that really has a base fundamental down at the bottom, you know, root of the grapevine kind of thing, you're a lot better off.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's, you got to allocate your resources to what's going to make the biggest difference. You know, I mean, I see these people, you know, I don't know, you've got people making big stands at great peril to themselves, and it's like, you know, if only your wife and kid knew about it, was it worth it? You know, you really better get some bang for your buck if you're, you know, really out there in the skinny branches of these things.
Yeah, I mean, well, what is the one thing that you're feeling comfortable about attacking? You're going, yeah, I want to, like the stop war signs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you went out with your 15, 16-year-old daughter, and, you know, that's a first, that's a big thing for a lot of people. I remember people shaking. I mean, literally, we had to have people go with, they'd come back after an hour, we couldn't find any place. We mean you couldn't find any place.
Yeah.
You know, we'll send somebody with, and it was only after they get the first one, or a policeman stops, and they go, hey, you guys okay? We just want to make sure your car's not just abandoned, you know, have a problem. No, we're just putting up signs. Oh, okay. And they go, holy crap, I didn't get shot or anything.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've always lived by the axiom, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So, huh? What do you mean I can't? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, no, it's just fun. It's something that's, it's easy to do.
Were you a sign putter upper during the Levolution?
Yeah, yeah. I was one of those for sure. You know,
okay.
I had so many questions back then that are just kind of like getting answered now. I'm like, really? You know, how come we're not making professional, nice, beautiful signs? Why are we spray painting these things?
Yeah, because it looks cooler.
Yeah,
you know, plus it's a lot cheaper. I mean, you know, the way we did that, you know, those signs that you put up, did I tell you how much they cost?
Like a buck and a half a piece, I heard you say on the other show. Yeah, that's perfect, man.
So there, you know, I was kind of surprised it was that much.
Yeah,
I'm going, damn, really? Now that ink is not free, you get the same kind of, because it has such a surface area, but I mean, the setup is more than a lot of people.
Yeah,
if you'd have somebody set all this stuff up, it'd be $1 billion.
Oh, right.
But we knew how to do it from 25 years ago. I did my first big screens back in 90.
Oh man, I've got some interesting ideas. Some going forward, some Banksy type stuff.
Yeah,
big giant things make you think.
Oh, see, there you are.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, rocking and rolling and whatnot here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, the one thing is, you know, we had Christmas music, and we were doing the, you know, the Christmas music thing, and I'm going, yeah, that's good, but now Christmas is over. We're in the New Year's. Can we do a little bit of Christmas? It's not New Year's yet. You know, I go, so this is Christmas. You know, I'm glad it was a good year, but I tell you, the last few years, especially this year, it was kind of like, man, we better get the whole family together in the pictures, you know, because we may not, next year may not, you know, everybody's got jobs, everybody's kind of, you know, doing okay, they're not hungry, and, you know, nobody's living in, you know, the back, you know, in a tent in the backyard kind of, well, Adam was here for a long time, but, you know, the, you know, and all of them, they're coming, so they may be coming back too, you know, but, which is fine, but for the holidays, I'm like, nah, just family, everybody out by the 20th. Hit the road, Jack. Everybody's got it. You know, we're just doing the family thing, which I'm. And the reason was because Donna can only put up with so much stuff, you know.
Hey, but she's a patient woman.
Yeah, she is. So the one thing, and great hostess too. So the one thing that we wanted to do is just make sure we got a lot of family time. Yeah, you know, everybody. We're OD. We're good for a good few months, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're done. Well, we got some other stuff coming up that we'll be doing, but it's good to have family close and around, and just kind of make sure everybody's got their mind right. You know, that we all get, didn't even have to talk about it. Of course, they don't want to talk. Dad, no politics. Shut up. Hey, Dad, did you know about the, ah, ha, 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 see, you're starting the questions, you know? So this is, It was really good. We had a good time. But as you've gone through this progression, you know, what is it that you've had to, are you dragging your family, or they, you know, inspire you, keeping it fun? I mean, how's been your activism going? And as you, I can smell it, you know, you're kind of easing into this activist thing, because I can tell. You know, you start to see the impact once you start having some impact on your life and your friends, and you see the cultural aspects of it. And then you go, or I could go down to the legislature and bitch at some legislators.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, we realize that doesn't make a difference. You know, to keep it fun, you know, I'm trying to be sensitive to other people's viewpoint where they're at. So, you know, I introduce it. I say, hey, honey, what do you think of this? You know what I mean? That's the way I couch things, you know. I want your opinion on this, you know, kind of a thing, rather than shoving it down your throat, which I have been prone to do historically, but...
Historically? She's got a long list of...
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, as opposed to, like, the taskmaster, here's your reading list for the month. Right, please have it completed by November 30th.
If you read all this, you'll think just like me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to be said, you know, create little mini-me's. That's a little weird, so, you know, weird. Yeah.
All right, so how have you been getting your information? I mean, you know, once you kind of did, it's the 07 Ron Paul thing, what's up? And then you start, once you go down the rabbit hole, you're going, damn, there's a fundamental something here going on.
It's like leapfrog. I go from here to there, to there, to here for a little while. But I think, you know, your stuff in the beginning and then now more so. But Richard Grove, that guy's a genius.
Absolutely.
Love that guy. I mean, a young guy, whistleblower, got shafted, and he makes it his life mission to find out the genesis and origin of all these problems going back to the...
You know
Rothschild.
Who Richard Grove is?
Oh.
He's blowback to the machine. This is what happens when you piss us off. That's what happens.
Oh,
Richard
man.
Grove.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing, I don't know if you know, I have a practice in Quartzsite, so I go out there like once a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you got me kind of inspired on that one, too, because I remember you talking about your big Ron Paul campaign out there, and I think here's the exact phrase you said. It swells to like 200,000 people for like 4 months. I'm like... really? So I had a buddy of mine who went out there and started a practice and literally hung a shingle. And you almost never hear this in any kind of medical private practice, like hang your shingle out and, you know, the masses come streaming in. That's what everybody wants, but nobody ever gets out there. That's kind of what happened, you know, but it's starting to slow down now. But he hung out a shingle 15 years ago. But here's the funny thing. He took Medicare and they called him a fraud. They're like, there's no way you went from zero to, you know, 60 claims overnight. And he's like, it's Quartzsite. You don't understand. You know, it goes from like population 2,000 to, you know, 200,000. And because of all the zip codes from all over the country, you know how it is out there. It's all RVers descending upon one little place. They wouldn't pay him. And that's it. So he let it go. And he's a good friend of mine. I said, hey, do you mind?
They wouldn't pay him for what?
For Medicare. Sir, he's a chiropractor also. And he provided service to all the old senior citizens
who wouldn't
out
pay him?
There.
Oh, Medicare.
Medicare wouldn't pay him. They called him a fraud. They're like, nope, you can't. That's not possible. You know, their computers analyzed they ran their computer programs and figured out statistical analysis that a guy doesn't start today and have 60 claims by the end of the week. Or
you do, you know, when you got 100,000 RVs
that show up overnight virtually. Yeah. So, you know.
You deal in cash?
What? Bullets, gold, silver, that works too. I got paid.
Damn you, Bitcoin.
I just got into that the other day.
Yeah, man, you get some old geezers in there making use of their smartphone, they can do some.
You'd be surprised. Some of them are pretty hip.
Well, let's get, you know, all right. We got Ed calling in. We got dude. Hey, Ed, how you doing, man?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, Ed's the sign putter upper, man. You, matter of fact, that's how you saw the signs, the Stop Wars Home Educate, and you're going, hey,
yeah.
Can I get some of them?
Ed and I go way back. He was another one that really influenced me back in the day with the Ron Paul thing, the first go around. So I always thought, man, here's a guy. He's kind of out there, but man, what he's saying is not wrong. So what's up?
So Ed, how's the sign putting up and going?
Oh, what are you talking about? I've just seen a bunch of signs around town.
That's right. I have no idea. I am plausible Teflon deniability.
They're multiplying. You know, it's like a virus.
They're around the airport, and they're along the light rail, and they're everywhere.
There you go. You know, one thing that Michael did is, in his family, they took the white and they colored it with, you know, red and blue Sharpies. You know, kind of that's how it looks on the Christmas card thing. You know, and you did that. And that worked out well.
It turns the head a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that looks nice, you know. But, you know, you need to have variety out there. The you know, it was perfect timing. With, have you gotten any anybody stop or anybody say anything to you, Ed, as you're putting them up with your sidearm on? But I mean,
you know, that's really astounding to me. When I was doing the Ron Paul thing, it didn't matter whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. When I was putting something up, I was getting honks and honks and honks as I'm doing it. With these, nah, nothing. I one time. I had somebody honk at me as I'm putting one up. That's it.
You know, the one thing they're going down. You know, I mean, you know, people that you put them up and they go down, you put them up and you go down and you're going, damn, it's like you were saying, you saw somebody going to get one. and I go, tell that story real quick, Ed.
I saw him at first. And I was like, oh, cool. Who's in my neighborhood doing this? I got to find out who that is. You know, I don't know why it didn't jump into my mind. But anyway, I see this kid cutting one down. I'm like, what the hell? So I figure I'm going to go confront them and either say, hey, you know, cool sign, leave it up. Or, you know, what are you doing? And by the time I could cross the traffic, dude was gone already.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then I think you mentioned that, man, they're such a hot commodity that, you know, kids are...
Damn Skippy. I went through this with the still voting V for Vendetta signs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, at the end of the campaign, I went to go get them, and they were like, almost all of them were gone. Mm. And I found out later, you know, people were putting them in their garage and their dorm room and everything. They wanted them.
Yeah.
And you do Stop Wars, and you have these signs up, I guarantee somebody's saying, hell yeah, they want that bad boy. So, I don't think it's going to be, you know, people taking them down because they don't support it. They want it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together?
Next thing, you'll be seeing them on eBay for $200 a pop.
Man, don't laugh, man. You know, be selling the screen.
I was very tempted to post up on a corner and put a bunch of them out and see if I could sell some.
Why not?
You should do that. Just try it. For sale.
All right.
You know, awesome. For sale, make an offer. You know, holy crap.
Go on.
I've had a lot of fun putting one up and then standing there with one for 5 or 10 minutes and doing my own sine waves. I've done sine waves all over the city.
Okay, now check this out. There was, when were they doing this? I had it on the tip of my tongue. It was, dang it. It was the Grapevine newspapers. Okay. What they did is they printed up a bunch of these newspapers, like our newspaper, and they sold them in stacks of 50 to the homeless people for $15 or something.
I remember that.
So it was like, yeah, you remember the Grapevine? You know, they sold those to the homeless people. They covered their cost, plus they made a little bit. So it was like they were like 5 cents a piece, and they sold them for like 10, 20 cents a piece, or something like that. Mm. The homeless guys bought them because they were selling them for an average of $2 to $5 that people would give them as donations, you know, to give out the Grapevine at the off ramps instead of, you know, please give me food and I'm starving and disabled vet if I don't have a job or something. They're actually selling these newspapers. Well, the man, like, hell no, because they were critical of the city government and doing kind of, so they did any and everything they could. You can beg for money, but you can't give a newspaper for money.
I did not know that.
Okay, so the homeless guys made money for the guys that made the Grapevine, the newspaper, and that was their distribution center, system, and they made money. Giving people were more than happy to give them the money for this because it had some good stuff in there. They like, nope, not allowed.
How'd they shut that down?
Because at the time there was the Arizona Republic and the Phoenix Gazette. The Phoenix Gazette was the afternoon paper. The Phoenix Gazette, you know, by late morning, they had guys out in vests doing the same thing. They were selling them. Hmm. Well, because they were doing it, they had to make street vending of newspapers illegal as a city ordinance of whatever. So they went all over the valley and they said, it's illegal to sell anything. You can beg, but you can't sell. And, you know, but what about donations? No, they just arrested them. They just take these homeless guys down. They just, all they had to do is keep arresting a few of the big guys. And then, of course, they wouldn't buy the paper. They couldn't. And they were supporting themselves. They were getting apartments. It was amazing. And the reason that we got a lot of speaking engagements is we did big half page ads in there for us running in 94 for political office. We were supporting the concept. This is how you have, like, homeless people have a job and you do, and the newspaper, and they go, nah. It's not approved of the kind of whatever we want said. You're out of the system. You're not monopolized of the Republic crap. And I'm going, Really? Okay, does this tell us everything we need to know?
Hmm.
So what does that make me think of? The same thing. We do the signs. We give them to people for $2. They sell them for 10 each. You know, I'll just keep making these things for freaking ever. So, and if you go out there and you can make bank on there and you'll sign for a sale $10 or something, I'm like, yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You have a job. I'd just be your bitch supplier, man.
Stop creating value. Stop it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Hey, we got to get back. Thanks for calling in, Ed.
Sure.
All right, peace, brother.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You are listening to Ernest Hancock.
This is Christmas. And what have you done?
Yeah, see, I can still do some Christmas. It's just a little bit for a show after Christmas and Christmas music and John Lennon Christmas. You know, this is, I did not know this, that sign right behind me there. It says, war is over if you want it. Merry Christmas from, or Happy Christmas, what does it say? Yeah, Happy Christmas from John and Yoko. And that was a campaign that went worldwide in English-speaking areas, big billboards and everything. And the chorus behind it, the children going, war is over if you want it. I didn't know that.
What's their point? I don't get it. You heard you say it the other day. Like, who's behind it and what's their agenda? Like, to brainwash you into saying it's already over?
No. It was a campaign with John Lennon and Yoko Ono. They're, you know, sleep in, peace, bed, kind of whatever.
Loving.
This is, if you watch, there is a movie called The U.S. versus John Lennon. It's a documentary. Charles Goyette and I went and saw it. You know, it was when we were working together. We went and saw it. And it's really well done. And the point was they wanted to deport him from, he had a home on Fifth Avenue, whatever, in Manhattan, whatever, across from Central Park. And Dakota, where he got shot.
Yeah.
And so he's living here in America. And the 1972 presidential election cycle's coming. And it was he went big time anti-war.
Hmm.
And man, oh, hell no, you can't, in the empire of lies, telling the truth is like you get shot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing this anti-war thing, and they were doing everything they could to get rid of him.
Hmm.
They were afraid that he was going to be at the conventions of the people will rise up, and that's why the celebrity, if you're not for the man, well, you're not
against
for
the man.
Yeah, you're against you first or against us, that kind of thing.
Mm.
We need some Britney Spears. I think we should just trust our president, you know. So that wasn't John Lennon, and certainly not Yoko. What they did, what made them, you know, kind of symbiotic relationship was Yoko was a performance artist. That's why they always, you know, in the sheet or they're doing some funk made you look. It's all about made you look.
Mm-hmm.
We do whatever it is that we want. But we want to, yeah, that's all very interesting. You want to come talk to me. You talk to the sheet. You know, made you look. Because then you got to print what we say. Okay? So it was all performance art. So this war is over. And then small print, if you want it. Happy Christmas from John and Yoko. That was a billboards that went all over the world.
Hmm.
They were all over the place. If you know, I can go ahead and just, I'll pull it up here on the screen for those on the video. And you'll see what I mean. And I go up here, war is over. And just do an image search. You see that?
Hmm.
There's all these billboards all over the world, in English speaking, they were everywhere.
Hmm.
So this is, you know, just, you're looking at these graphics, it was a big, headlines, you know, of newspapers, it was just, and they, man, what the hell, we need to get rid of this guy. It was performance art.
Hmm.
So then that's why I do what I do. It's made you look, made you think, set an icon, had, you know, people get to express themselves, and people doing exactly what you and your family did.
Hmm.
Give me some of these signs, want to go put them up. Why? Because you got the spirit of John Lennon in you. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
See my point?
I wasn't sure he was legit. So he is. You give him the thumbs up on activism.
Yeah. U.S. versus John Lennon, and you'll see.
COINTELPRO, he was legit.
He was a threat.
Mm.
Big time threat.
Mm.
You know, and they do any and everything they can to try and, you know, he's a threat.
Mm.
See, the big problem was they came over to the U.S. And I remember they landed the plane and they said something like, yeah, we're more popular than Jesus.
Oh, yeah. People flipped on that.
They freaked out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, you know, now they're trying to make Santa Claus more popular than Jesus. They're trying to make anything more popular than Jesus. You know, freaking Teletubbies more popular than Jesus. I mean, they're making the effort. You know, it's winter solstice, you know. So I'm not sure. The man, whatever serves their ends and purposes, and the one thing that doesn't is to expose the truth. It's just the empire.
Who is the man? Have you figured that out
they
yet?
They, them, those. Yeah, absolutely.
They, them, those.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we...
There are those that just won't be left alone, and those that just won't leave it alone.
Exactly.
You think it's more complicated? Everyone wants to get all about how complicated it is. I'm going, look, are you Klingons or Vulcans?
Wait, it's like Richard Grove's got it dialed in, doesn't he? I mean, do you agree with his analysis on these things?
Which one?
Oh, my God. It just goes so deep. The tentacles are, like, everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, how can you not? I mean, you know, Richard, he doesn't make any kind of claim. He just, like... Look, this is their own words.
Yeah, they wrote their own books that nobody bought. And
yeah, they're like proud of it.
A guy
yeah.
like Richard finds them somewhere.
He's like, damn, and I read them. You know, there was another guy. You ever hear in the interviews that I did with Chris Duane, Silver Shield?
I know him, his work well. Put it that way.
Okay.
I don't know him well.
So,
but yeah, I know. Very familiar
see,
with his stuff.
How he came to my attention
yeah.
is there was a lot of, you know, Ernie phrases in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going, hmm. yeah, we're on the same path, or he's been listening to the show, one or the other, you know. And I'm going, yeah, cool. So I have him on. I go, you and Richard have been reading the same books.
Huh.
Chris immersed himself in a lot of these books. God, man, they sit there and told us what they were going to do. That's what Richard did.
Hmm.
So I put them together one time. We had them on a show, you know, both of them. So you can imagine that was entertainment. And they're off.
Huh.
There's a lot of people like that. What I'm seeing, the reason that you hear me going on so much about the distributed internet and communication without, you know, them being able to flip off the switch or the, you know, the Alexa ratings, you know, or the Google analytic of the whatever gets searched of the yada, yada, yada. And at the end of this last year, just a week or two ago, Lou Rockwell came out. He goes, man, they're dialing us down. We're 40 million page views a month, and now they're just, you know, it's like half. They're cranking it and doing everything they can so that no matter what it is that you're looking for and how it works, they're dialing you down.
Mm.
This is one thing, as a policy, when we put the headlines up, it's exactly the headline without editing of whatever link that we're sending out to. This is what they said. On Lou Rockwell, they don't do that. On Lou Rockwell, you'll see it's probably a clearer headline of what it's about because the author will put some esoteric kind of means something representative. What the hell is he talking about? So Lou changes the headline on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to the actual article and they'll show what the real headline was and, you know, what the article is. So he changes that headline. Well, that gets past the Google search engines as being, it's not just a copy or a link to something like an aggregator. It's right. like original title.
Mm.
So that kind of changed it. So he had higher ratings. Well, I could have made a, you know, number decision to do that. And, well, nah, I'm not playing their game. I'm thinking into the future.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our own internet, our own infrastructure, our own peer-to-peer, our own BitTor made safe descent, Alexander, whatever the hell is coming, and our own satellite, to where none of that matters anymore. It's going to be our own algorithms, our own way of searching.
So, what can I do to help?
I'm yeah.
I'm for that.
How big is that checkbook? We've been setting it up. We've been doing it. You know, it's work. I'm just trying to be. I was worried that I wasn't going to be ready in time, and it looks like we're going to be okay. You know, we're doing all the guys are doing, but it's such a labor of obligation, love for your fellow man, just generation network. I mean, you know, those good people such as yourself just do this kind of thing.
It's large. It's just so big and deep, you know, and it just requires, you know, a little effort from a lot of people, you know.
Well, what do you think that you're in for? See, it can consume you.
Yeah.
Once you start having some impact, you get some positive feedback. You know, the rat gets a little pleasure sensor when he hits the little, you know, lever thing as he gets his little pellet or something. You know, he'll go across the electricity, get to the other one, do it again. I mean, actual experiments like that until you're just freaking dead.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm wondering, you know, where's your regulator?
That's a very good question. I'm in one of those contemplative periods in life going, you know, at the fork of the road. Like I'm, you know, do I put a guy in charge of my practice, let that spin off a little bit each month and go do some, you know, meaningful things like this? Or, you know, I'm contemplating some moves like that. You know, I get by, you know, not, you know, getting wealthy over here. But, you know, I definitely want to put more effort into this kind of thing because it makes a difference. That's the thing. It makes a difference. And, you know, I like the gorilla aspect of it, you know?
You know, there's some, I tell you, you know, there's a lot of suggestions. You find, we got resources. That's what Freedom's Feet, the infrastructure was all about, was for exactly this kind of.
Yeah, and honestly, in my opinion, I think it's underutilized. So to know what's available, I think we can.
You know, we've been setting up infrastructure.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading on Tuesday, gold is $5 higher at $1,071 per ounce. Silver is 8 cents higher at $14.08 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $422. Our offices are closed this week for year-end processes and to enjoy the holidays, but you can still shop our online store at rrbi.co for some of the best deals you'll find on silver and gold. rrbi.co.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Into the Twilight Zone. Oh, you know, this is, I'm showing Michael, you know, he's, yeah, I want to get involved, I want this, I want that, and I'm going, I know. Mm-hmm. There's guys just like, I know, I was you, I know. So what we did is that I was showing them all the special edition capacities and different things that we do on Freedom's Phoenix was set up for people just like Michael. There was someone that was serious about doing something. You know, I just don't have the infrastructure. I just get a domain, and within a half a day, it's all formatted and set up. You have your own database, your own subscribers. You get to run your own banner ads. You get to have your own editorial staff and who got them. Paste, done. Mm. Go.
Impressive.
You know, it was set up that way for that reason.
Who's your computer guru doing all that, or is it you?
Well, it was for, 8-9 years. It was Tiger Gilbert, just a good friend that, you know, knew how to make web pages and learn PHP or whatever it was, and he just built everything. Mm. But he wasn't, you know, he's older than me. He's 60-something. You know, he was an early web page guy. Can you? Well, it'd be kind of hard. And you had, I go, look, man, is this a class? I just need to know. Either you can or you can't. Well, yeah, but I go, then do it. I don't want to talk about it. That's, you know, and it just became spaghetti code, but it worked. And then you get guys like Derek Slopey, that is a good activist, and, you know, he's not a volunteer anymore. I mean, you know, he got him on staff, but he's in Maine. So he does all, he's cleaning it up now. He's doing the, you know, I can't believe you have your database set up like this. I can't believe you're vulnerable.
I need a guy who knows that kind of stuff, who thinks like we do some website work on mine. I have almost nothing going on with my business website there. And I just don't trust anybody. They all tell you they can do this, this, and this, and then they BS you and take your money. And then,
well, there are guys that can, well, that's exactly what's like Tim Fry from Roberts & Roberts. He spend gazillions of dollars having people doing, and then And Derek's going to be, you know, off for a little bit, Ernie, because he's going to fix my crap, damn it. Mm. You know, that kind of thing. So there's, and he does a lot of stuff for Ross Ulbricht's campaign. They do a different thing. He created Fiend Phone, which is a software kind of like Skype, but, you know, high quality radio that you can transmit, you know, around. It's just, you know, there's a lot of
he's
things.
A computer brain.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, you trust him. I mean, that's the biggest thing is trust, you know?
Yeah,
everybody and their brother tells you they can do this, this,
and
this.
Yeah, but
and you're
because
like,
he's so trustworthy, he has so many people in demand of his time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, hey, man, don't forget about me. Damn it.
Right.
You know?
Makes sense.
But the, so this is what we're getting this stuff done behind, you know, behind the scenes is the infrastructure. My big goal for him, past year and a half, I go, we need to be ready for the next wave of communication. Mm. And it's going to be extraction from DARPA's internet. From the Department of Defense, from the government and the man. Mm. I go, we have to be able to have ones and zeros that we can transmit using another method.
Right.
And a way to communicate, and they can't censor or take down and video and it never going away.
Let me ask you something. You know, you're on an airplane, you sit next to somebody you don't know, and you're going to, you know, give them the 5-minute elevator speech. Where do you direct them besides your webpage? I know that would be the first place because it's such a great resource, but like, what are some of the things you like to, like, you know, I know you have Ken Schooland on here soon. That's what I tell people to go to. Philosophy of Liberty. Check it out. YouTube, whatever. Yep. Yeah, I mean, what are your go-to?
That's a good one because we, that's in a lot of languages, too.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing is I'll hand him my card.
Mm.
You know, that's, you know, kind of whatever. But and I warn him. I go, look, this is not necessarily a libertarian, freedom-oriented site. I mean, it is. But it's a wide radar screen. Mm. You'll have all the bad guys saying all the bad stuff and doing the bad. Why the hell would they put that? You got to know what the hell they're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And but the big thing, and I did this when I was like on Air America.
Mm.
I mean, you know, it's, I had the crowd, okay? They're getting the, I'm their token libertarian on the weekend kind of thing, you know, while I was producing for Charles. And I go, look, I put my hand on your shoulder and I ask you one question. Whose life is this?
Mm.
That's it. Well, it's mine. Okay, well, welcome to anarchy, man. I mean, you know, peace. Now, what? You know, they, of course, they go, what about, what about, what about? Oh, that's where, and I did the same thing. That's where that phrase came. I go, hey, I get it. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Mm.
That's where that came from. It was mid-90s of me asking, you know, Rick Tompkins, which was a libertarian state chair here and ran against Brown in 96. And, you know, and kind of, so we're going, look, he's hardcore anarchist kind of, you know, the I own myself or I don't. And from that kernel right there that, you know, either I do or I do not own myself. And that's why the show is Declare Your Independence. That's what that recognizes. The only purpose of government is to defend the rights of the individual. And when they don't do that, time to alter or abolish. You're bad guys. They won't leave you alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a matter of
harass the people who eat out their substance.
Seeds. Just planting seeds, you know? It's amazing.
Seeds
how long? I mean, it took me 7-8 years to really get it. And then once you get it, you look back, you go, oh my God, I can't believe it took me that long to get it. Really? It's that
simple? If I can be just an add and not a subtraction.
Mm.
If you're not, you know, like, I mean, they'll keep asking questions. They'll get to where it's like, you damn libertarians have an answer for everything as if that's a bad thing, you know?
Mm.
So I'm just going, if I can just leave them in the hour, two, three flight of the whatever that you're kind of, and you see what they're doing or working on, if they're a government employee or what they're, you know, just chit chat and they're, what do you do? Kind of, you know, it gets around to where I always try and do that one thing. Well, I mean, you own yourself, right? Okay, then we're done.
Oh, but that's so terrible. I would have looked at you like a whack if you'd said that to me. I'd be like, huh? What do you mean I own myself? Of course
well,
I go, do.
Either you
but
do
you gotta get the,
or that, somebody else does.
Right? Yeah, it's a good start. It's a mind blower. It's like, huh? What do you mean I own myself? Of course I do. Blah, blah, blah. And they don't get the deeper.
You know, some people that I've been with this, I mean, you know, some political activists, you know, they're a Democrat. They come on and then they go, well, I mean, you know, in the overall society of I owe allegiance to the common of the village or something. I mean, you know, I'm going, okay, well, how's the weather? There's no sense. You know, I go, we might as well not fight.
Yeah.
I go, okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think? I go, no, we just disagree. Well, it's how the weather. I mean, I'll intentionally try and talk about something.
Oh,
I go,
that's funny.
Man,
that's
if good. You don't own yourself, I mean, you know, there's nothing for us to talk. We can just be pleasant and, you know, kind of, yeah, but, you know, oh, so then they start advocating that I belong to some collective. I don't believe that. Well, don't you think that? I go, yeah, I do think. I just don't think what you think, you know? Yeah. So I'm just, that's why I don't think what you think is because I think. So this, that is the core thing, cell phone. That's why I like the Philosophy of Liberty animation so much. Mm. And we're having Ken Schoolin on.
Yeah.
Next hour you get to hang out with.
I'm excited to hear from him.
You know, so that
I got his book, Jonathan Gullible, the other day, and I'm like, you know, 3/4 of the way through that. Kind of interesting. Have you read that?
No.
Yeah.
The story, I know the story behind the story.
Yeah.
He was, as a friend of his, owned a radio station in Hawaii that asked him to do like 3-minute little economic, because he's an economics professor at University of Hawaii something.
Mm-hmm.
And he did these little 3-minute, they became very popular, and they eventually kind of combined into Jonathan, Adventures of Jonathan Gullible.
That's the chapters.
Which you're right.
Yeah.
You know, so it became a book, and then there was a guy named Lux Luker that I can't remember his real name, but he lived in Alberta or Ontario or something in Western Canada, and he did the editing of our first radio because we didn't know what the hell we were doing. Mm. You know, we get it in MP what? I mean, you know, MP3. He would edit and convert it and that and put it up on the site because we were doing Windows Media Player files at first. Those are huge, you know, especially back in the days, you know, in 03. So he would edit them down, put them in the MP3 and make the files of it. And it was like days before each one of the shows would get up. It was a major effort. Had a guy here, that Paul Schaubel, a good activist friend, he would edit it down. Then he would send it to him. They FTP up to the idea. I mean, it was a multiple project. Seriously, you guys need to show me how to do that. I mean, I can do this. I mean, come on, you know? And eventually I got the software and I started doing it. But the he took the Adventures of Jonathan Gullible and made the Philosophy of Liberty. He's the one that did that animation. Then it got translated and then it started. And then we paid $100,000. You know, there's three different groups. I think ISIL did some. I did 335 and then somebody else. And we got the Arabic translation of Philosophy of Liberty, and that's what we dumped on Tahrir Square during Arab Spring. Thousands.
That's what always blows me away. You tell these stories, and it's not like you're bragging, like, hey, look what I did. It's like, oh, here's what happened.
What you can do.
Yeah, no, it's like, here's what happened, and it's just amazing the history, the story behind the story. That's what blows my mind.
Well, I go to Ken, and I said, hey, man, how come this thing's not in Arabic? Are you kidding me? Hey, man, that's hard. Well, you do it, you know? You know, we got a guy in Moscow, you know, do it. I think for $1,000, we can get it done. And I go, well, hell, man, I'll come up with a third of that easy. You know, they go, okay, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some Arabic, you know, guests and so on that were on. And I, you know, some of them were libertarian, some of them, and I had them all kind of vet it and, you know, check it out and so on. We had a guy, Alessandro.
No cartoons of Muhammad in there, right?
No. Yeah, fine hat, you know. So this is, there's a lot, you're stepping into a...
Big rabbit hole.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And I warn people, especially if they got resources, I could change the planet with a couple of thousand of them. And I'm going, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then forever will it consume you. I mean, you know, you got to be careful and have something, a project, a thing that can be fundamental that you could just be something.
Hey, man, what kind of world do you want your grandkids to grow up
exactly.
in? You know, that's really what it comes down to.
So I can help. You know,
amen,
mostly it's just to help you launch your own, you know.
Sounds good to me.
You get
that's what I'm here for.
All right. Well, that's what we'll talk about. Ken Schoolin, ISIL, when we come back. Ken, happening?
Hi there, Ernie. How you doing?
I'm more than a wonderful. Okay. Well, all right, here we go. We're back.
The Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Ken Schoolin. He's currently an associate professor of economics at Hawaii Pacific University in Honolulu. Schoolin served as an international economist in the U.S. International Trade Commission, ew, and the U.S. Department of Commerce, ew, and on assignment to the Office of the Special Representative for Trade Negotiations. Triple ooh, I got all kinds of stories about that. Damn, man, I didn't know all this. He taught at Sheldon Jackson College in Alaska and on a university exchange program at Hakodate University in Japan. He later became director of the Master of Science in Japanese Business Studies program at Shimonade University. Schoolin is president of the International Society for Individual Liberty, ISIL, a Sam Walton Fellow for Students in Free Enterprise, a member of the Mont Perlin Society and on the Board of Scholars of Grassroots Institute of Hawaii, and he has authored two books, Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, A Free Market Odyssey, now published in 45 languages, and Shogun's Ghost, The Dark Side of Japanese Education in Two Languages. And ISIL has been around since I started being activist. And I've been around for a long time. And Ken Schoolin came to our attention. The Philosophy of Liberty animation is based on The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. You know, Ken, real quick, I think it'd be great for the audience if you told us the history real quick of how that came about. And as I recall, it was a friend had a radio station that you did little blurbs for. Tell us that story, will you, Ken?
Thanks a lot, Ernie. yeah, by the way, it goes way back with my resume. All that stuff in government work service was back in the 70s, long before I really became, you might say, enlightened about the necessities of free markets. So, yeah, the book itself I was writing as a series of radio commentaries on an all-news business radio station here in Hawaii. And, you know, just straight commentaries weren't appealing very much, so I turned it into a Gulliver's Travels type of story. And there it got a lot of attention and a lot more interest. And at that point in time, I decided to make it into a radio series with my friends doing the various voices and so on. And then a guy, Sam Sloan, who was president of the Small Business Hawaii organization here, decided to publish it as a book, and it took off. Then we're actually in now in 80 editions in 50 languages, with 3 plays, and touring 3 different continents: Africa, Eastern Europe, and Asia. And we have a movie project underway too, with a team of animators from Hollywood and a group of investors internationally that are trying to put it into a film.
Whoa, freaking whoa. Time out. You know, you got a fan in here. We'll bring him on. We have him in the last hour. Michael Cole has, you know, been exposed to your say, been an activist since those 07 Ron Paulization of the, you know, freedom and stuff. And he's oh, Ken Schoolin, I get to say hello. Say hello.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for all you do. Fantastic work. You're the animation there on YouTube is the one, the go-to, hey, go check that out, Philosophy of Liberty. So, yeah, bravo.
Well, that was a project that somebody, well, first off, what I wanted to say is the play that was done in Africa. That's how we caught up again one time. I heard about this. They were doing this as a play, and I'm like, whoa. And then we get into they're making an animated movie. So two things right off real quick right there for the end of this segment. One, the play. Tell me about the play. And two, this movie. Tell me about the movie.
Well, there are 3 plays that have been produced. One in Africa. Adedayo Thomas has produced it in Nigeria and took it on a tour of 5 different countries of Eastern Africa with a cast of 30 students who got onto buses and traveled all across Africa, performing at universities to audiences of a couple thousand. And got a very good response, even got an award for students, International Students for Liberty, because of a production that he produced. Another was Matas Posvank and Martin Bikan
in Slovakia, they produced a play that's now toured in almost all of the high schools of Slovakia in Bratislava and many other cities and towns all across Slovakia. And the third production is actually a musical production that's been produced for young people in Kazakhstan. And it's been produced in Russian and Kazakh. And so as Russian, it was also then broadcast for production all across the Commonwealth of Independent States, which you know is the Russia and other countries.
Wait a minute. Is this why we got people buying, capitalistic trips to the, Russian Soyuz kind of, they're getting all American, capitalized or something? Well, not American. Americans aren't capitalized anymore. It's at the root. The root to get people thinking, getting their mind right as a culture thing. And this is really taken off. How long is this play? I mean, what's it about?
Well, it doesn't take the whole book. The book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, is in 42 chapters now. But they take selected chapters and they adapt them to an audience that's appropriate. Like, for example, this woman who does it as a musical, Ludmila Melnikova and Pavel Koktashev are two who have produced it as a musical. And they take certain scenes and they've turned it into a musical production of certain scenes, like, for example, the scene in the of the tortoise and the hare delivering mail. And there's this this contest between the tortoise and the hare who challenge each other to see who could get the most customers, while the hare is getting really efficient, developing customers through innovation and service and good low prices. The tortoise just goes to the king, gets a monopoly patent of the delivery of all mail. And so they outlaw the competition. And the kids all say, that's unfair. These are kids in, 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds who are responding to this and clamoring for competition in the postal delivery service through this play. But it's been utilized by adults as well. It was serialized in the Hong Kong Economic Journal in Hong Kong. A lot of it depends on how it's couched, whether you put illustrations with it, it's more of a younger audience, and you leave the illustrations off, it reaches
an adult. Well, before the end of the segment, audience. Tell me about the movie project.
Yeah, well, we've been very fortunate. There's a group of libertarian animators who have kind of gotten tired of doing the regular line of productions in Hollywood. This is people who have done work with DreamWorks and Pixar and Universal.
Time to get Kurt Russell. Call him.
Yeah, and they said, well, we want to put together our own production. So they came together at a meeting, and somebody tossed down the book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, and they said, oh, well, we've all read that. We like it. So let's make that our first movie project. So we've developed a business plan for that, and my wife is actually heading up the investment search. And believe it or not, there are a lot of free market investors in China who are very eager to invest in an animated film.
I'm getting ulcers in anticipation of how I'm going to be able to, get some kind of fingerprint on this thing. Go to the archive. Go to the archive. We're going to ink the deal in the archive right now. Mm-hmm. Michael, I know he's on the edge of his seat. I got some money.
Who do I make the check out?
Yeah, what we got to do here? Oh, go to the archive.
This is Donna.
All right, Ken, freaking man. I knew you'd, suck some money out of us. All right. So explain to me, at what stage are you? How are you going to do release? What are you going to do? What kind of help you need on this thing? And who are the guys? I mean, let's go. You know me, man. Let's go.
Well, Matthew Parker and Keith Baxter are the two who have been the most experienced in Hollywood.
South Park?
And they're the animators and producers of this project. And I don't really know much about the Hollywood.
Matthew Parker. I mean, we're thinking Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh, I know.
Matthew Parker.
There for a minute.
I know. I got Michael all excited here, man. He's like, oh, wait a minute. We're going to have puppets. Team America. F yeah. All right. So this is, some people have got skills and they're looking for how long of an animation.
Oh, it's going to be a full-length movie, an hour and a half long.
So this is for general release kind of thing?
That's right. We're looking. I mean, these guys have worked on films like Shrek and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and all that sort of thing. And they're doing really high-quality stuff.
See, this is where the world changes, this stuff. Run for what it doesn't matter. It's this stuff. It's cultural change-based fundamental, which is what Ken has been a very, very good neon flashing example of. Okay, so this is awesome, the plays and doing the anime. Well, what can we do to help? I mean, how much do we got to, you know, beat the bushes for whatever to make it? I mean, is it for sure done deal? And what can I do to get something? I mean, how can we help?
Well, that's fantastic. We're at the stage now that we're seeking the seed funds for the teasers, the trailers that would show investors the kind of film it would be, and the team is all ready to go, and we've got a plan for how we're going to develop the character and the film, because it's going to be different than the book, and so we're developing that, and we need the seed funds for that first stage of production. I mean, ultimately, $30 million production.
I mean, how much?
Well, ultimately, we're looking at a $30 million production.
It's going to be like a studio release thing?
Exactly.
They're going to let you? They? FLC?
I know. See, that's another thing. They're going, you know the bad boys are going, no, hell no. You know, but so is this something you think they don't see the threat, or that you don't care, or they're not, I mean, what?
That's the magic of Jonathan Gullible. It's all been done in satire and humor. So that it's gotten around all the censors. It's get around, we got a Farsi edition published in Iran. We got one in Vietnam published by all the publishing houses are government in Vietnam and in China and so many of these countries, but they've accepted it because they think, a children's story and so on.
Does that tell you they just don't read it?
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering, when we did the Arabic version, the guy in Moscow that did Arabic, I don't know how the hell that happened. Who was that guy? How did that happen? I mean, other than us paying for it, but I mean, who are these people?
Well, the Arabic translation was first funded by a guy named Nick Dykes in England. He had friends in the, who were willing to do the translation, and then Nua El-Harmouzi with the Lamp of Liberty, that's an offshoot of the Cato Institute, in Morocco, then arranged for the publication in Jordan.
For the animation that we did for Tahrir Square.
Yeah, okay, well, that animation... Yeah, the animation is the epilogue of the book. So once they had the epilogue of the book translated, then they just adapted it. And we've got a template. We can adapt it to any language.
Call 602-264-2800.
Are you still there?
602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're just coming right back. We hadn't stopped talking, so I mean.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going. I didn't want to break your train of thought. We're just going because there's so much that ISIL does just as individuals. That's just the mechanism by which they operate under. Who can we call? And I always say Ken. And this has happened to where you have. He was telling us about different publishing that you want to do it in Vietnam or China or whatever. It's a state-owned. Oh, it's a animated kind of a children's book. We don't care. As long as it's satire and it's not making fun of call us out, directly, then we'll kind of let it slide into culture and screw us up 20 years later. So I'm just going. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So then I'm going. And then we had the animation, the Philosophy of Liberty animation. We wanted to make use of that in Arabic. I was like, it's not in Arabic? How come it's not in Arabic? Well, there was a guy in Moscow that translated it for us. And Ken said, I don't know, $1,000, you can probably get it done. I go, hey, well, here's $335, let's go. So, and I would have been willing to pay the whole thing. But I mean, we got it within 10 days. It was done. And we had them ship thousands of them in the PAL format for the DVD players in the Middle East. Went to Tahrir Square. And then all of a sudden, I was talking to Kenny going, yeah, next to the U.S., the biggest downloads are Morocco and Saudi Arabia. What the hell happened, man? Then I'm going, yeah, wow. See how it goes?
Getting stuff done.
With your play and doing this animated, now the thing is that when you do an animated movie, everything can be done in individual languages.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what happened with the Philosophy of Liberty, which was first produced by Kerry Pearson up in Port Townsend, Washington State. He produced a little animation that then was adapted to, well, we've got it in about 46 languages. And just in the 5 minutes before I got on your show, I read this email from a guy who says, do you have it in Filipino yet? And I just wrote him and I said, well, no, we don't have that. We've got 46 languages. We could use it in that too. Here's the template that you just insert the words. And our guy, Stephen Cobb and Drew Suter then adapted it to a new language. So it's very, very easily adaptable to a new language.
Yeah, is he from Phoenix and his name happens to be Leo?
Leo too, yeah.
Yeah, no, this well, is that's, he's that's from the right. He wanted that's, yeah. No, he wanted to he told me, how do I get this done in Filipino? Ken Schoolin, here it is. Peace out.
We need some Liberty Easter eggs in these animations, man. Some behind-the-scenes subliminal stuff.
Oh, hell, it all is Easter egg. You know, the one thing, yeah, it was that, and then Alessandro Fascio, that criminal defense attorney that has offices in Rome, Berlin, and Madrid. You know, I hooked him up with the Italian version, and he's going, wow, this is awesome. Can we change this little phrase here to being the local? So this is, I'm telling you, man, you're staying busy with this thing. Hell, just from me sending people to you, you know? So I feel better.
Yeah.
Just that this is going to be done in animation. What do I got to do to make sure this happens?
Well, you're the band to make things happen. I'm so impressed, Ernie. I mean, you've got such a electrifying message, personality, and outreach network. I'm so impressed with what you do. And you're right. You brought a lot of people to these projects through your outreach. It's very impressive.
Well,
and
you know,
that Arabic production, I remember I sat in your studio watching you perform your magic, and at the side you had like 50 copies of the DVD of the Philosophy animation in Arabic being produced, and you packaged it up and it was sent out to Nua El Hormuzi. I have to say, the first shipment that we sent out there never arrived to my knowledge. It got lost. Maybe the government intervened or something.
What, a shipment that you guys sent?
Yeah, I sent it. A stack of these animated
We had to send them through a contact in Alexandria,
there were other people who then got a hold of copies and so on. But the first shipment that I sent out to Noah, he said it just never arrived.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me. We sent it. That was one thing I was concerned about, because I knew hell no, they did not want during the Arab Spring that them to get find out. You mean we don't need Pharaoh number 300? I own myself. Oh hell! I go, you get that injected in this thing, they're screwed, man. I don't give a crap what they're playing. You know, once you start getting 15-year-olds saying they own themselves and in any language, and how the Philosophy of Liberty explains that so well, I knew they were messed up. Hmm. So we didn't send it to Cairo. You know, we knew better. You know, we were like, hell no. We got a contact in Alexandria that we sent it to that took it to Tahrir Square. That's where it blew up from.
Well, they can access it from our website, jonathangullible.com, in Arabic. And I can track where, at least what countries are tapping the Philosophy of Liberty the most. And during this Arab Spring, of course, the United States is always the first that's using the downloads from my website, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. But soon as Arab Spring came out, I could see that there was a huge spike in usage in Saudi Arabia, in Morocco, in Jordan, and a lot of the more moderate countries in the Middle East. And so we know that that's circulating with the message.
Yeah, the one thing that I was really excited about, it was part of... we created Hariya Phoenix, which is a special edition of Freedom's Phoenix. Hariya is Arabic for freedom. So Freedom's Phoenix in Arabic. We have a web page. You know, we have a Facebook and a Twitter account. Well, the Twitter immediately went to like 2,600 people. And they canceled it within a week. And I go, I go, I'm so shocked. So then we got DDoS attacked. And Michael Kilsky, computer uber geek, state chair, Libertarian Party guy. And he's an attorney. So he's like, yeah, you know, computer science masters and an attorney, and it's like, bring it on. So he went and traced it to, like, it was out of Germany or somewhere in Europe. I think it was Germany. It was a company called WebSense. And come to find out, you go through all the stuff. They came and attacked. He goes, we can see you went through 8 different servers to attack this of 26,000 requests per second of the blah, 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 blah. You were attacking us, and it was because of this Arab Spring thing. And these guys had a contract. They did kind of work for the Mossad. Mm. And I'm going, really? You know, so we made a big deal out of it, did a show on it, put all the, you know, and finally it got where they answered Michael, and this is what they said. Yeah, well, oh, we were just showing your vulnerability. Oh, you don't want us to do that? Oh, all you do is say so. And it was signed Olga, you know, just Olga. And I'm going, wow.
We were just getting around to extorting you.
Yeah,
we didn't get there yet.
I know. It just, man, you can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
So I'm going, okay, I see where the battle is. And the philosophy of liberty, I've used it so much, and it goes like this, Ken. Put my hand on their shoulder. I go, whose life is this? And as soon as they, you know, well, it's mine. Okay, well, welcome to freaking freedom, you know. Here, watch Philosophy of Liberty.
Bingo.
So this is the movie, and man, we could do the rest of the show on freaking that. I think we will. This is going to be, how do I get little, you know, yeah, I know what I want. It's like in Silver Circle and some other movies and everything. What do I got to do to get a little bitty Freedom's Phoenix artwork logo Easter egg of motivation for us to help? You know what I mean? Come on, come on, come on. Think about it. We'll do something. We have 50 gazillion group spots. Yeah, it's like putting, you know, Pepsi cans in, you know, Wayne's World.
Placement, product placement.
Product placement. We need Liberty placement. You know, yeah, you got to be careful, too, because, you know, there might be, you know. All right, Ken Schoolin, ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty. Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, translated into gazillion languages, plays, movie.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world?
Yes, I am. Okay. So.
Okay, good.
All right. Ken, you got to help me out here, man. You know, how far along is this? When did you guys first start talking about doing this?
Oh, we talked about it. I don't know. I suppose we put together the business plan about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But it's now just really shaping up. You know, my wife has been organizing these conferences all around the world. She put together the Austrian Economic Summit in Shanghai in 2012 and in 2014. She did the Bratislava Austrian Economic Summit in 2013. And next year she's doing it in Marrakesh, Morocco, with Nour el-Hormuzi. And by the way, we've gotten a crowd of about 150 enthusiastic Austrian economic fans. We've gotten speakers, about 30 speakers, including last summer David Friedman and Tom Palmer and Dan Mitchell and a whole bunch of international speakers like Lian Lo, and we have that coming up again in Morocco. She's planning this with Noura El-Hormuzi and with the Arab Center for Liberty Studies. And you can go to her website, tftevents.com, and have a look at the conference that's planned for May 26th to 28th.
What's the biggest need? Is it financing or other things, or what's the biggest need?
Actually, sure. I mean, financing is always beneficial. We're eager to find people who will sponsor students as scholarships, and who will you know, contribute. But we're very, very interested in having speakers come. You know, speakers provide their own way, but there are a lot of times, in order to get students to be able to come to these events, we need to provide scholarships for them too. So yeah, that's. But it's amazing the individual effort. There was one friend of mine who just put up a site on, I don't know, you know, this crowdfunding thing. I need to go to the Bali conference. So last summer was in Bali in Indonesia. It was our biggest and best yet. we had an estate offered by Hugo van Rijten, who is a great libertarian and fan of the International Society for Individual Liberty, and he offered us his place, a beautiful estate where we were
able to have all the meetings, all of the luncheons, and a great tour. Of course, Bali is a wonderful place to be touring around. And it was just a huge moment for Liberty because we got, books presented. The Braille edition of my book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, was just published in Nepal, and they brought it and released it there at the conference in Bali, along with the Bahasa edition.
Oh, my God.
We have the new editions in Jonathan Gullible now. I mean, it's now been published in 50 languages, but we have new ones coming out in Malaysian, Malayalam, Punjabi, Tamil, Armenian. I mean, it's just incredible.
You know, I remember you inviting us to go to Bali. I just, whatever was going on then, I couldn't go or everything, but you keep me in mind, man. I'd love to participate in something. I mean, just cause, you know.
Oh, you'd be a fantastic there, and Ernie, you'd be the most dynamic speaker of all.
Well, let's get this schedule. Yeah, Marrakesh, man. I'm thinking, all right, here we come. We're coming back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express?
Yeah, we're going to Marrakesh. You know, this is see how you said Marrakesh.
You're fantastic.
Homie's got skills.
With that one, that's homie's great. Got, yeah.
Nash and Crosby, Marrakesh Express. You know, they're going to Marrakesh, Morocco. Is your next one? When is that?
It's May 26th to 28th. And
and
on the website, we'll list our speakers. We have some that have expressed a strong interest and are likely to come. David Friedman came last summer, and I'm expecting him to come next summer as well. Chris Lingle. The nice thing about this is that it looks like we're right in the midst of places that are having huge talk and energy about the free markets and free ideas, and they need this kind of thinking there, and they're hungry for it. I mean, it's unlike a lot of people in America. They think, oh well, we've got a free society, and so they're losing it. But in other countries, they're tasting it for the first time, and they're really latching onto it and saying, we've got to make something happen with this. And so that's where a lot of the excitement is.
Culture. Oh, did you get the banners?
Yes, I did. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, you got to advise me on what how best to use these things. I remember when I was driving around in Arizona, I saw a lot of your banners for Ron Paul years ago, and how best to use these sorts of things here. It's a great, great idea.
You can put your mic down. I just turn it up here. It's going okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to hold it. I just turned it up. I got a knob. I sent him some of the banners, the nice banners that we did. And we did, our street activist silk screening ourselves kind of hundreds thing. And I don't know, weren't it appropriate? You'd stand in that whatever TV of some you're speaking at a whatever conference of damn it, stop wars, home educate. I'm really seeing that as the future is where ISIL and the philosophy of liberty comes in. It's part of that home education thing. It's just, we're going to keep having these wars if we don't understand what the hell keeps causing them, who's doing it, and just getting out of, these different cultures are infected, with the idea of liberty, of leave me aloneism, of freedom, of whatever the heck. And I'm going, you're right. They're more apt to hear the message, especially when it's presented in such a simple I own myself way. That concept, that was like discovering the law of gravity. John Locke comes out with this, I don't have to be property of some king or something. I own myself. That right there started changing everything, which is why I'm so supportive of what you do. It's exactly the kind of thing that we try to do here.
That's right. And this is the theme of this conference coming up in Marrakesh. It's called Peace and Entrepreneurship. The whole point of it is that you go to America's strengths in terms of free market activity, not war and interventionism all over the place. That always has a negative response. What you really want is to release the talents of the marketplace and interacting people.
You know, what other support? I mean, is it you? Is it Ken Schoolin? Or is it ISIL? Or is it the combination of the two? Because you weren't always in charge of ISIL, you know? And
No. The person I'd say that who's most, the guy who founded the International Society for, and we're always having to use this full title now, the International Society for Individual Liberty, because in the Middle East, you know, it's ISIL has been
Durka Jihad!
Taken over by this this other extremist Islamic State and all that. But okay, our group was organized about more than 30 years ago by Vince Miller, who wanted to take it. He called it Libertarian International at the time. Then later we merged with Students for the Individual Liberty and became the International Society for Individual Liberty. And right now, since he passed away, Mary Ruart is the chairman of the board of directors, and she's really the driving force in the United States. As you may know, Mary, well, you know Mary because she ran as a candidate for the Libertarian Party.
Now, I know Mary
presidential
for a long time.
Race a couple times. She's written a book, Healing Our World, that's just an outstanding introduction to libertarian ideas. And I'd say in the United States, she's certainly the driving force for what we're doing. And I do a lot of the international, you might say, Johnny Appleseed approach of taking our organization worldwide to bring together networks of people who are doing lots and lots of stuff.
You know,
they are all across the world.
Are you familiar with Glenn Kripe, Language of Liberty?
Well, that's of course he works with ISIL. In fact, he got his start from the projects that we did in Lithuania, and he took it worldwide. And we're big supporters of him. It's through our donors that we contribute a lot to his multitude of projects throughout the world.
We hooked him up with Alessandro also to do a conference or something in Europe. And Alessandro, the attorney out of Rome, he's like, man, we need to bring, you know, gun rights kind of in. I don't know how to do that and not be, you know, considered the fascist the Nazi something. That's how they're trying to portray anybody that does gun rights. You own yourself. Kind of said, you know what? We can help you out. Talk to ISIL, talk to Glenn, talk. So they're working it out now. And they do some kind of conference, and we can help with something. Let's go save the continent of Europe. It would be just a weekend project. I mean, you know.
easier to go halfway across the world than to solve it in our own backyard.
Don't laugh, man. You know, it's when they're ready. And that's what Ken's finding out. What's changed? I mean, because this was not like this in the 90s. Was it the internet that did this? Was it certain individuals? Was it a need? Was it, you know, we hate America? We love America. I mean, what's made such a big change to have all these opportunities?
Well, I think the internet has made things really, really easy to connect up with other people. But then it has to be in combination with actually meeting them face to face, because then, you know, you meet them and you become solid friends. And then the internet makes it possible for you to communicate and send, you know, all kinds of articles. I mean, my wife right now is communicating with dozens of libertarians all across China, and she's getting public. I mean, you know, she says, well, could you say something about, endangered species, how the free market helps that issue? So I wrote up a little thing. Within a day, friends of hers said, oh, we're going to translate into Chinese. And then within day after that, it was all across China. She put together this conference that's now an annual event at Northeastern University in China, where we have over 100 students from all over China that come together and hear six scholars. We've got Doug Vandal, Chris Lingle, Bhadu Mitra. We have a dozen speakers from all over the world that come there and give a week-long seminars on free market, Austrian economics, and that spreads it then throughout China. This stuff is just all possible. Largely because the internet, even though the Chinese government tries to block it with the Great Firewall of China.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to tell you this story. There was a Chinese exchange student that was staying with a good friend, one of the best friends of my son's. And they lived there it was three of them. It was, I think, two girls and a guy. And they were spread out of families here. And one of them stayed there. Well, we got to talk to them and meet with them and everything. And talk, and I used the philosophy of liberty for them. And I can't even remember if it was in Chinese then or not. But they, of course, they spoke English. And I go, here. So we were communicating with them for about, when they went back for about 3 months, and then it went dead.
Hmm.
And I go, I'm so shocked. You know, I and you just know that the man's going, no. No, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. This is, where you think you're having the biggest impact, the biggest potential? Is it, you know, Malaysia, Asia, Europe, Africa? Is it all of them equal or just kind of ratcheting up? I mean, where do you think you're having big impact?
Well, believe it or not, I think that China, India, and Nepal are probably some of our biggest outreach areas.
India.
They're doing great stuff.
Yeah, India. Ouch, ouch. There's like a gazillion, was it, like a billion people? India?
That's the
India?
Amazing thing. Every province is more people than there are in most countries. So, yeah, it's worth it.
China? I don't know, a couple of billion. Half the world's population, India and China.
Yeah.
Damn.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Yep. Alexandro Facio. That's going to be a score right there for you guys. And so you're already communicating with him and Glenn. And I didn't, you know, I didn't make the connection to you and Glenn and them, and they do all of that. I feel a European thing coming on. Hey, we could all meet in Morocco. Marrakesh. Yeah. The Marrakesh Express. Oh, I feel artwork coming on already. See, this is how it's done, man. This is how it's done. You know, Michael, you feel like going to Marrakesh?
Oh, man, I'm down, buddy. I am down. Okay. I got my passport. Let's go.
Okay, see, this is how it happens. You know, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. You know, try not to get in trouble overseas. Let's not do that. So this is, May. Can we do something by May? Yeah, are you willing to get all, you know, like, you know, let's do it? We're going to screw all this we're going to Marrakesh. Marrakesh Express. Freedom Express. Marrakesh Freedom Express. See, I can feel it. Okay, where are you putting it on there? Is it just some person's location, a hotel, or what?
Well, Noua Al-Harmouzi is going to be the organizer for it. So I don't know exactly where all it's going to be. But, he's the... he's a professor and economist at the University of Kenitra in Morocco, but also he's put on for years seminars, liberty seminars in Morocco. So he's very experienced.
Well, are they done in English, or is it going to be in Moroccan?
Oh, yeah,
or
everything's in English.
Okay.
And he was the one that helped the Cato Institute found what they called the Lamp of Liberty, which was their outreach to the Arab world. And...
Cato's, you know, their translation of the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and they did it in English, each page in Arabic. We sent hundreds of those along with the DVDs to Tahrir Square.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. You know, so they got that. Now, on the in Arabic, on a mailing label, on the page of the front page of the Constitution, in Arabic, we said, we already tried this. Maybe you can do better. I wasn't endorsing that. I'm like, no. This is how we got screwed, man. You know, I just, we're not endorsing everything. But that Bill of Rights and Declaration thing, I'm hip to that. So that made me feel better, you know, to be able to do that. The, yes.
And absolutely, you're planting these seeds that you will have probably many times you'll never know what the impact was, but it's taken on a life of its own.
Right.
And it's spreading these ideas throughout the Arab world and across the world. Everything. And a lot of it doesn't get back. I mean, you think of when we were learning these ideas ourselves.
Yep, here we go. Here we go. We're back.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Toto!
Africa, baby.
Exactly, out of Africa. Yep, out of Africa. Okay, this is, see, it's worldwide. We've always known this. We're just trying to keep a little bit of a flame of something America be, you know, as America and freedom-oriented as about the rest of the planet. You know, when you got to go to Russia to buy a flight to the space station, when you got to go to China to open up a company because, you know, whatever, when you got to do that, I'm just like, oh, here's a really good one, Ken. I mean, China is going through their industrial revolution of carving the air with knives. I mean, damn, is there some pollution there and a lot of around the world? And I know that they'll eventually evolve just like America did out of this because, damn. You know, how do you address that pollution and so on in what's going on in China and India and everywhere else?
Well, I think that it's the kind of message that Bjorn Lomborg gave about how it isn't through government controls that we're going to solve these problems. It's through the innovation of the marketplace. And he's demonstrated how just in the United States alone, having switched over through the fracking and the tapping of natural gas, the United States has reduced its carbon output, carbon footprint more than all the Kyoto Protocol signatories combined just by innovation that led us to low-cost natural gas. And that's the marketplace that solved the problem entirely and not the government interveners. So I'd say that that's what China's going to do in the future, too. They're going to the more the government stands out of the way in China and allows the market to solve these problems, that you'll have that sort of response as well.
You know, we've seen things like research in thorium reactors. We have China doesn't have all this copper infrastructure of lines and electric everywhere, everything, and they can do more decentralized. We got solar and wind, and we make cheap batteries because we can, I mean, you know, this is they're going to leapfrog us because they can. You know, they just can. And they don't have investment of the infrastructure, and the big giant special interest is the government. So so it's in their interest. So I'm just, it's a whole different thing. They don't have lobbyists saying, no, we got to Fauci quit it, fight over. They're looking at, you know, freeing it up and the entrepreneurs that are coming in and doing what needs to be done for a profit, I'm hoping. But you got to comment on the ghost cities. I'm like, damn, are they just waiting until all of a sudden everybody's living in the city this week or something? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, it's true. There's a huge housing bubble. You know, I think that 60 Minutes reported that it's 12 to 24 new ghost cities every year, cities being built by the government to prop things up. But I think that the real magic of the Chinese growth hasn't been, of course, the government. It's been the private sector. And the Fraser Institute out of Canada that does the Economic Freedom of the World Institute in index measured different provinces of China. And they found that many of the provinces, the free economic zones on along the coast, are freer than Hong Kong and Singapore for economic freedom. And, of course, there are other provinces of China that are off the bottom of the chart, the least free. But the engines of growth have been along those free economic zones along the coastline of China that have driven this tremendous success in bringing hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. And that's where the entrepreneurial activity is going on. Now, of course, when the government tries to step in and control it, manipulate it, of course, it crushes it. But that's where the hope, I think, for China and of course, the rest of the world is. You see the states of the United States having those differences themselves. The states that have the greatest economic freedom are the ones that are becoming the engines of growth of the United States as well.
You know, that's one someone that we know that offered a big company go to California. And the first thing he's thinking of, he looks and he goes, all right, it's 198% of the cost of living in Phoenix. You know, the homes are a gazillion dollars for what they got here for nothing. And he goes, and gun rights are gone and I have to vaccinate my kids, maybe not. And I'm going, that's, you know, all we got to do is just, you know, we go more freedom-oriented, freedom-supporting, freedom-friendly freedom, and all of a sudden it just explodes here. Well, the bad guys know that, too. So they're going, you're not allowed, and we got some legislator or somebody, so you got to go change the culture to where these are non-starters. And it's the same with gun rights. You know, that's another thing. Gun rights. You know, just it's self-defense of, I mean, that's really what your entire freaking philosophy of liberty just builds right up to. You own yourself and protect your life and thing. I mean, what does it use as a graphic? Oh, I think it uses a knife, you know, or something.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it uses a knife. Oh, it's not a gun. It's not a gun. So, you know, this is gun rights. Is that self-defense? How does that enter into a lot of what you do around the world?
Well, actually, in The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, there are several references to the right and necessity of having a gun to be able to protect yourself. It's subtly introduced in a way that, you know, any school in America could probably let it get past the censors to let it in there. But the message is very clear that you have the first obligation for protecting yourself because, the people who say they're protecting you, they're the ones doing the aggression against you all the time.
Yeah, it's one thing that we can do. We have the duplicators. We can do 300 to 500 DVDs an hour. I got probably around 20,000 in reserve because just waiting for somebody to piss me off, and it goes from 30 down to 25, down to 20, down to, you know. So it's about time. It's, you know, this home educate thing, I'm I think that you hit them with, no, we're not talking just America. We're talking by language. We do a compilation DVD that would be something that we just, you know, invade America, you know, and passing out the crosswalk at the junior highs, you know. That'd piss them off. We'd launch it with T-shirts into the schoolyard. Well, that'd send you to jail. I'm for street theater activism of something, but damn, Ken, you got me so inspired by what's going on around the world. We could use that as an example to inspire kids here. So, I mean, about it. You
is
know,
it
we
translated
gotta,
into English yet?
Yeah, really. the Ebonics.
We need it.
We be needing that's some the firearms,
we,
you know?
Originally, Sam Sloan published this as an English language book in order to get it into the schools of Hawaii. They've been sitting on it for more than a dozen years and saying, well, considering it. We finally figure, well, once North Korea finally accepts it, then maybe the schools in Hawaii.
Okay, what are you holding up there? What is that? A laser? It's a DVD. Okay, it looked really big when the way you said it. I'm going, holy crap, how big is this thing?
It's the audio book of Jonathan Gullible, and it's in audio version in a number of languages, in German and French. Not in French, but in several languages. I can't remember offhand. But you can use the English one. There's an English one. If you're You set your machine to work. You're welcome to make copies of that.
No, I was going to ask your permission anyway. The I'm ripping you off, right? I go like this. I go, Donna. Go to the internet. I go to ISIL to get that.
I'll send you a copy of the book, and it's got the CD with it.
Do you have the CD? Do you have it in? Do you have it in Spanish?
No, it's not produced in Spanish yet, but you know, I welcome anyone who wants to just do a narration in any language that we've got it.
Okay, this
we do have it in German, and we have it in, I'm trying to remember.
Never enough. Okay, this is what's going to happen. This is Michael. This is how it happens right here.
We can get that translated.
He's sitting here witnessing what's going on here. We had, Larkin Rose, a gentleman, because he didn't have it in audiobook. He's doing the audiobook. Well, his wife is from Korea. Well, she's doing it in Korean. Okay, so then we can, cause I'm like, you know, got another thing, see? Okay, and that's just Arizona. Okay, Michael. This is how this stuff happens, okay? Just like you're watching it happen right here.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. You got my address. Send me that English version of that, and I'm going to plagiarize the living crap out of it, okay? Or duplicate it or do something illegal. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll do a crap load of these. Get the CDs, because I don't want to waste the DVD files on them. But we'll go ahead and do CDs of these, and we'll start, you know, passing out The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible in an audio file. What age do you think is too young for that?
Well,
thinking get away junior high or high school or what? I mean, what are you looking at?
Probably junior high is about the youngest you want to go. They're the ones who are getting the musical production in Kazakhstan, and I was amazed at how energized they were about getting this message.
Okay, now, before you go, do you have the play in English? Now, where that somebody could perform it and do it.
Yeah, the play.
Done! We're going to have this done here in English. Get this out as a promotion. Yeah, you know, for 2016 America and Arizona ass whipping. I mean, can you feel me? Come on, you know it's going to happen. Come on. You know that Ernie, you know, you pushed the Ernie button, does it happen? Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And Michael's going to help. See, I already knew. I wasn't going to say this unless Michael was here.
I'm here. I'm down.
Are you down?
I'm right there.
Ken, crap, man, you should come on more often. That and Morocco. We'll talk about Morocco. We'll talk about Asia. You stay right there. Go to the archive as we save the planet.
Money. And
see how easy that is? We're going to save some planet.
That's fantastic.
Okay, you send that to me, and we'll come up with some campaign, because this Stop Wars Home Educate thing could easily morph right into that and defending Archimedes of that. You hit them from an unexpected, perpendicular, cool, but relevant direction. That's L. Neil Smith thing, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
That's great. And I do want to put in a plug for ISIL.org, where we have all the videos of all of our talks from the Bali conference. So I'd love to have everybody go there and they can view all the talks and be as if they were there themselves.
Okay, do me a favor, Ken. Make a note to send me an email or along with something, you know, information or how we can help and spread and do and whatever about the animation. And an invite, if you can get these guys, if they're willing to have, you know, me come to, you know, if I can raise the money to go or do whatever, if I got an invitation to do the Morocco thing, you know,
in some way.
We can help, whatever. I'll make it happen and, you know, something. But the May in Morocco, what is that temperature? Is that kind of like San Diego-ish about that time of year?
Well, good question. I'd have to look that up. I visited there a couple years ago in the dead of summer, like July.
It was 122 or something.
And no, it wasn't too terribly uncomfortable. I think these cities are also on the coastline, and
yeah, Mediterranean, so it kind of moderates.
You just want to be careful what you eat there.
I'm hip. Yeah. Well, go ahead and I'm interested. I can't guarantee any because I don't know. I mean, you know, crap happens, you know. But this has been the Defending Archimedes has been for 4.5 years a web domain that I sit in the back of my head sitting there. And I tell you how it came about. I want to share this with you.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, one of our patrons, has been, you know, just one of those, you know, 200 IQ genius guys that is just, you know, damn, you know, they're drawn and supportive of what we do because they know this cultural thing has an impact. And I'm talking to him over the years and I'm going, God, you got to tell me, how did you know when, and you're a genius and you're smarter than all your teachers at, you know, what, kindergarten? I mean, you know, what is it you need? Do you need a special program, a camp? Would you go to a seminar? What? They go, no, I'm smarter than all these. Leave me the freaking alone. Put me in a beanbag chair in a corner. Not too hot, not too cold. I got a light and a book. I mean, you know, just leave me alone. I teach myself. So there was nothing. They didn't. These guys, the most influential, the most driven, the most intelligent, the most. They don't want anything.
No help. Just get out of my way.
Just leave me alone. They didn't need anything. So I'm going, okay. So, yeah, and I'm thinking about the history of Archimedes and how smart he was. And, you know, I mean, you come up with pie in your head, I mean, you win, you know. So, in, was it 300 BC or something? So, I'm going, here you have Archimedes and you had the genius of Generation Next. So, I'm thinking, you just need to defend them. You know, the Defending Archimedes. That's where that came from. And the point was, is I'm going, all right, here's Khan Academy, comes up with some great resources, and I'm doing my granddaughter and showing her an hour of coding, and they go through a bunch, and it's kind of cool. But then he hooks up with Bill Gates. Bill Gates has all these metrics of your account, of you signed up your kid, and each one of your kids got their own account. Every time they watch something, they get points, and it's a game and whatever, and we map their brain, and oh, yeah, Illuminosity, and now we got everybody. And I'm going, your permanent record is they got your freaking permanent record married with your Google searches and your Facebook account of you're just a freaking number. So I'm going,
known quantity.
Exactly. So I'm going, no, there was a book called Brilliance. You should read that. You know, it's about this kind of thing. Gifted 2x2 Hands of Blue and River Thames in the Alliance of whatever, you know, and Firefly. So this is, so I can see what the real threat is. The threat is server based accounts of individuals and them being able to map you in this permanent record of your brain. And I'm going, when they started Echelon and what was it, Carnivore and all this kind, I could see for the first time in early, you remember this, Ken, for the
Echelon,
first,
yeah.
Yeah, Echelon, yeah, thank you. I'm going, yeah. You know, for the first time, they're able to, you know, kind of web connect with all this Snowden NSA stuff. And I go, why are we helping them? We need to have, like, Airbits is a Bitcoin wallet that has accounts that they don't know your email or who you are. You sign up the account, you got the password, and the only way they can track is through ISPs of kind of, you know, something like that. So you use an anonymizer, you go to the MadeSafe network, or you do something to where they can't censor and it's off there. So that's why I support this, you know, peer-to-peer serverless. There's no central plan for, and it's an encrypted account of my kid, and yeah, he's smart some bit. I bet you wish you knew who he was, and I'm not telling you, okay? So this is the kind of, it's the defending of the next generation of geniuses and them getting it worldwide. India and China is half the freaking planet's population, and I'm going, at least. So I'm going, all right, boom. That's why I want to help with what you're doing, because I see the seeding of this, you know, Adventures of Jonathan Gullible in animation, a movie, a play, you know, in different languages. You have the Philosophy of Liberty available. You have. And I'm going, all right. This is exactly where I'm going and why I sent you those posters. Did you get the cards too?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So that was, you know, the love card. That was a Christmas card in the Christmas of 07 in New Hampshire for Ron Paul. On the back, yeah, instead of the Stop Wars, it had, you know, Ron Paul is the best because of whatever, you know.
That's right.
So I'm going, and it had We the People. And I go, no, I don't want the Constitution. I want the Declaration of Independence in the background, you know. So we did, so I'm with you, brother. I'm right. We're on parallel paths, and where we can come in and overlap and help each other, I am willing to put. So, you know, Michael's sitting here already willing to spend some money, you know. So it's like, you know, the doctor of a, you know, chiropractor kind of whatever, and he's got some skills and willing to put some time, and he's and his family have been putting up these signs around Phoenix. So yeah. I'm going, I'm telling you, man, you know, waiting on you now.
Okay. Well, I'll be sending you some. I'll send you the book.
If Ken would just do his part.
Yeah.
Hey, get off your ass, Ken. That day I didn't hear nothing about South America.
Antarctica.
Yeah. Some penguins need freeing, man. You know. So this is, you know, where I'm at. So you can see, seriously, I'm motivated. We set up the entire, everything is to, you know, help with this. We use a lot of your resources in a bunch of our compilations and so on, and I'm thinking of just as a demonstration, because there's so many great opportunities and demonstrations around the world, you know, but America needs a, like a, in, you know, the, you know, through the bone marrow with a big giant hypodermic above your head as you slam it down like your adrenaline a heart or something, you know, into the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, world culture, for which there is no cure.
We'll start in Texas. Michael Bednarik, new secession, new state.
Oh yeah,
new
we had Michael Bednarik was on the show last week. He, his family is taking, his mother passed away. He went to Illinois, Indiana, or whatever, take care of them. He's moving back to Texas, where he's doing some constitutional classes and more. And because Texas has got, you know, they always have a secession movement going there. And they're kind of building up. He's like, yeah, I'll run for president of Texas. You know, so we'll have some Texas stuff, Arizona stuff, California. We're just having fun. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling some fun coming on.
Wasn't that the thing that people challenged Harry Brown? They said, you know, Harry, you said in your book How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World to stay out of politics. He says,
unless you're having fun, then then do it.
Yeah, no, if you can keep it fun. I didn't give Brown as many props as I should have, you know, and we even spoke at the Freedom Summit, and it's the politicalness of it. You know, it's the party and them trying to get matching funds and them going through. I hated the people that surround the party kind of, and I'm just now seeing that it's finally the movement with the internet and the maturity of a lot of resources, such as what you're doing, what we're doing, a lot of people, as now has an infrastructure that bypasses election cycles. You know, I mean, you can use it to make fun of whatever, but we're so much at a more fundamental basis and at a much higher level that inside all that political stuff is just side effect. Yeah, but the vote totals, and I go, yeah, it's a side effect of, you know, people getting, yeah, but we're going to get in this guy and running for it. I go, that's a side effect.
Right.
You know, the stuff that Ken's been doing for all the, when did you start doing the radio thing in Hawaii? When did those start getting published?
That was about 1980 when I first did the radio.
Oh, my God. And look what's happened. See?
Huh? Back when
you were not gray.
I know. People say, well, gee, you know, how long did it take you to do this book? You know, and I think it's been going, it's an ongoing thing. It goes forever.
3 months and 20 years. I mean, you know.
No,
I'm hip. All right. So you got your marching papers? You got your to-do list for me?
Got it. All right. And I'll be sending you some stuff right away.
Okay. Michael and I will talk about it.
Fantastic.
It's serendipity. He's sitting here all raring to go, wanting to do something and kind of this. And he's been, you know, the philosophy of liberty has been, you had no idea this was going on around the world, did you?
And not the degree to which Ken's talking about. It's very encouraging. I mean, seriously, very encouraging.
You know, I remember.
It's funny that liberty is going to have to be imported to the U.S.
Right. And sitting out in the Pacific of Hawaii doesn't hurt, you know.
Yeah.
He invited us to go to Bali, and I can't remember what was going on, and we couldn't, you know, do that. But I'm, you know, I'd rather go to Bali than Morocco. But I mean, you know, Morocco, it's on the African continent. It's going to be in English. It's going to be close enough to Europe that we can have it. And the guys, you know, with Glenn and Alessandro, and then, you know, kind of, we're already working on kind of. See, I'm already planting this. I present them with this and what Ken's doing, and kind of, you know, and listen to this show, and kind of, you get it, and they're going to go, Damn.
Glenn wants to do one of his camps, building young libertarians just prior to the Marrakesh conference. He's trying to connect up with Nua El-Hormuzi, and if they get it all together, then Glenn will be doing one for the youth just before the conference. And we've got what we call the Bali Society that we started last year, a cadre of like 20 anarcho-capitalists who were, you know, start with David Friedman and Leon Lowe and Chris Lingle and others that were supposed to be the core of a new organization that would be an alternative to the Mont Pelerin Society. You know, the Mont Pelerin Society started years ago engine, but now it's sort of lost its way. It's gotten watered down and very political and populist in a sense. But we're trying to start off a new one called the Bali Society.
Okay, this is, well, you have Alessandro's contact information. You should, Donna, send Ken the links to the shows that I did with Alessandro, especially the last one, and listen to this show and, you know, and the articles that he wrote, and, you know, because what happened, he came here to Arizona. He was staying with Mark Victor. I gotta tell you this story. Mark Victor writes something that was about gun rights or something in on Lou Rockwell. Well, he's a criminal defense attorney for freedom.com kind of thing. Well, Alessandro's like, cool, so he contacts him. If you're ever in Europe, well, they were on a trip, and Alessandro has law offices in Rome, Madrid, and Berlin. Well, Mark sets it up and meets him in Berlin. They're new best friends. And then like a month and a half ago, Alessandro came here to Arizona. So he's hanging out and kind of looking. Everybody's freaking got a gun. Man, what up with that, you know? Which he's like, cool. And I go, hey, you want to penetrate into the culture, You do the self-ownership philosophy of liberty, and I showed him that. He got very excited, and that's when he contacted you. He's like, oh, hell yeah. And I go, you use Second Amendment issues or gun rights as you can bring in all this other stuff because it's all about self-ownership. So he's like, he's down with that. So I go, all right, be careful. I mean, you sure you want to spend the rest of your freaking life and, you know, semi-retire of your law firm of gun? Yep, I'm in, man. Okay, fine. Here's Glenn. Put him in contact with you and Glenn. Then he'll see that, you know, eventually start to realize you guys, you know, work together. And it's like, damn. And what should you do? If you encourage him to go to Marrakesh, you know, which is not too far from Italy. I mean, you know, it's a little hop over the pond there. So you go over Mediterranean. You have him participate in that or at least go or something. Now you got, you know, someone, a quality individual ready to take on Europe, you know, and help.
Yeah. Now, Alessandro, Fusillo. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Right. Okay. I got his email address right here. Yeah, we corresponded about
a month ago or so.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. November the 22nd. Right. Okay.
Donna's going to send you the radio shows that I've done with him and the articles that he's written for us. And if you listen to the last show that I think it was the last show that we did. And you'll see, he was like, yeah, no, he's in. He wants to, you know, just like Michael here, they get all the bug. You know, they got, I'm like, pace yourself. You know, Ken's been doing this for 30 whatever freaking years. You know, then there's a way. It's called pacing yourself, and you'll stay in the fight. So we do this, and we kind of meet up in Marrakesh, and because you got, you know, the Arab world, you got Europe, you got Africa, you know, Morocco, man. That's a man. That's an international cosmopolitan to piss all everybody off. Wow. Now, you know, the audience, I just want you to know this is how it happens. You just stay in the fight. You know people, and you know, kind of just dovetail into whatever resources of we kind of, and here we go, international. You know, the Stop Wars thing was international. We sent, just like the package I sent you, I sent to Alessandro in Rome.
Right,
you know, so
right.
These guys are having fun. I'm going, here we go. And why? Stop wars, home educate.
Right.
You know, I didn't put home school, you know. Right. You know, it's like, you know, so this is, all right, we got work to do. All right, man, I'm telling you, you know, thank you very much for spending the extra time with us, Ken, and all you
thank
do.
Thank you.
And let me know, if I can be of service in addition to, and we do and get the guide, I can make use of this. I can have some fun.
great.
All right, man. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Ernie. Well, you're the greatest.
Who's
the guy with you in the studio? I didn't have you pick your picture here at all. I could.
Michael Cole. If you watch the video when we put up the archive, and you watch the video from the second hour, you'll see him and his family, and they're putting up signs and all that kind of stuff. And
great, Zach, Michael. Nice to meet your acquaintance too.
Thank you so much, Ken. Yeah. Very good pleasure to meet you. It's an honor.
Great. And I can't wait to see you guys. You know, since my mom passed away in Phoenix, I don't have the same reasons to get to Phoenix as I used to. But
where am I, chopped liver?
Now that Ernie's my brother, I have to go visit you.
Get your butt here. You know, that's another thing. You know, Ken's always invited us to go to Hawaii. And you know, I think, you know what? Donna.
Donna, yeah. Come on, Donna. We got an extra room here in our house here, and you guys can just park out in here and go.
Yeah, no, we're
I can go to the beach and go to the shopping and all that.
Yeah, we'll
go down there and see the battleship Missouri and all that.
Okay, we'll make Missouri. We'll make an excuse to go. We'll find some reason of something. You know, just have something. And it's just, God, we're just so busy, you know. But I tell you what, it's all towards exactly this. Cultural shift, education of everything I do just made you look. And I make them look at stuff, the infrastructure you already have, and gosh darn it, a freaking $30 million budget movie. I'm just, you know... Oh, hell yeah. You know, God. All right, Ken. You know, we'll let you go. But I tell you, man, you know, I'm in.
Thanks a lot, Ernie. It's so great to be connected with you, as always.
Well, give me a webpage, you know, for everybody to go to and find out everything about everything.
I'll send everything to you.
No, yeah, right now. Go ahead and do it for the archive.
Yeah, I will. I'll get it.
It.
Yeah. Okay, ISIL. ISIL.org is for the International Society for Individual Liberty. The website for the conference in Morocco is tftevents.com.
TFT TFTEvents.com.
Okay. Yeah. That's my wife's organization, TFT Events. And then JonathanGullible.com, where we have the news about everything that Jonathan Gullible's been doing worldwide.
And are you still teaching?
I'm teaching, yeah. I teach. I'm an economics professor over at Hawaii Pacific University, the private university here in the islands.
Oh, it's private. Okay, I didn't. Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, and how long are you going to keep?
You think I'd teach at a government school? No way.
I don't know, man. You could just beat them over the head. People wondering how you stayed there. How long are you going to keep doing that until you drop dead or what?
Well, believe it or not, I just had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I'm slowing down a little bit, but I still keep doing it.
Well, how bad? I mean, you okay?
No, it was a real minor thing. We were going to go traveling, and I thought I better just see the doctor first about this shortness of breath and a little pressure in my chest. And they sent me right to the hospital, and they put a stent in my heart. So I'm okay. I'm actually feeling better than I was before. It just
cool.
makes me realize that I'm 66 now, and I ought to retire someday, but it's not in the works yet. You know?
No, this is what kept you to 66, you know?
Yeah,
you peeled off, you know, like a decade ago if it wasn't for, you know, motivated or whatever. All right, well, I'm glad you're doing okay. Hey, man, you know, it's been always a pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad Michael got to hang with you a little bit. And you got a hub of activity just sitting ready, just right in line with it. You see how it dovetails, huh?
Yeah. Oh, before I leave the computer, I mean, right away, I'm going to be sending a whole bunch of stuff on the internet. In fact, I already sent one thing to Donna about what my activities have been this last year, and that gives you a feeling for the kinds of things we do through ISIL.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that are very supportive of you and supportive of us because we're supportive of people like you. So, you know, it's this is, yeah, I'm God, 2016 is going to be damn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're dealing on an international level. And if you look at it from that perspective and the opportunities we're going to have and the freaking U.S. government being U.S. government, you know, all of a sudden you can see an average. There's lights. There's a lot of lights. And I'm, you know, yeah, it's like Michael's saying, we got to bring freedom to America, I mean, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, in good examples, we want to help. If you let us help, we'll help. I want to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Ernie. You're the best. Yeah. Oh, thanks so much.
You bet. Bye, Ken.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Michael.